go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we are, off and running on this 23rd day of April 2021. This is The Horn, headon.live. It's where we live on the interweb tubes. And it's the day after Agnes's birthday. And she and I want to thank you ever so much for the kindness and patience that you displayed in letting us get away yesterday evening. We ran errands, but we did something just kind of weird. I bought her I got a nice dinner for her, which she really enjoyed, and I would have loved to have had dinner with her, but that's just not a thing I can do right now. But we just sort of hung out and enjoyed each other's company. You know, let's see, what is it? 8 days from now will be our 28th wedding anniversary. And so, you know, maybe we're at that part where just being together and enjoying each other's company is as big a celebration as either of us particularly wants or needs. And it was just nice. So thank you. Thank you one and all for being so understanding and so caring and so compassionate. I had some lovely notes of thanks and congratulations, and I conveyed them all to the Viking warrior Pharaoh princess, and she was touched by each and every one. And so this is Friday on the front porch. The two straight weeks of missing shows is kind of odd for me, but hopefully next week will just be extra normal.
Mm-hmm.
To the extent that normal is anything more than a setting on a dryer. So I have thank yous to send out if you'd like to augment your listening experience, if you're listening live on this Friday, the 23rd day of April, 2021, frigid Friday, I'll note, the cold snap persists here and apparently is going to persist for a while, a couple of days longer. Because it's just been kind of crummy the last few days. But, hey, it's going to pour the rain tomorrow in 55 and rain on Sunday in 61. But, ha-ha, spring may be on the way, because Monday we're looking at clear, beautiful, sunny skies, 73. And Tuesday, partly sunny skies and 82, and cloudy on Wednesday and 81. And then for our wedding anniversary, cloudy in 66. But that's okay. We will light it ourselves. But this evening, we will gather together here in about an hour's time, about 50 minutes' time, in the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves, and engage in the extraordinary, ordinary roundtable conversation that is Friday on the front porch. And like I said, until then, you can pop on by the Horn chat room, headon.live, click on chat room. If you've never been here before or been there before, or if you're new to the program, by golly, pick yourself out a screen name and a password, hop in, and you will be joyfully greeted. You hear that, y'all? Joyfully greeted by early arrivers Anatole and Kid Mark and Roger in Oregon and Squeaky, and you'll be capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator, Sparky, who, although he is a third stage guild navigator, has chosen not to fold space to become Man Cave. He's sparky today. And that's fine, too. So, that sets things up. If you want to participate in the Friday on the Front Porch conversation, well, the button is right there at the top of headon.live. Participate in Friday on the Front Porch via Skype. Click here. And now, based on what Sparky told us on Tuesday, you don't even have to have Skype. So that's kind of cool. I think it operates, reached some conclusion that it operates via Chrome or something along those lines. And every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. So many, many thanks go out this evening to our 22nd and 23rd day of the month subscribers. And that means, let's see, thank you to Stacy, and thank you to Reggie. And thank you to our friends at Mellow Moonlit Meadow, and thank you to our friend of long-standing, Philip, in Maryland. Thank you to an anonymous friend. Thank you to Scott in Wisconsin. Thank you to Cecilia. Thank you, David. Thank you to Felicia, formerly of Nebraska, now of California. Thank you to Colin. And that is that. Thank you, one and all, for being partial sponsors of the program. I also need to send out thanks. Let's see. I need to send out thanks to our partial sponsors via the United States Postal Service. And that means thanks going out to Brandon and Fennell in Brooklyn. And thanks to Dave in Kentucky. Thank you very kindly to our dear friend Dennis in Columbus. Thank you to our pal Kim in Minnesota. And thank you very kindly to our dear, dear, dear friend Scott in Sweden. Is profoundly helpful. And so here's where we find ourselves at the end of the third week of, or the beginning of the end of April, let's just call it that. We have, in order to finish the week, we have about $900 to go. So it's a kind of a community-made miracle we'll be working on this evening. But $900 to go, and I had a message yesterday from our pal Rico, who sent along birthday messages. Happy birthday to the lovely Agnes, and the happy birthday to lovely Agnes challenge, as a matter of fact. Hey, beautiful. I know you're talking about Agnes, Rico. In honor of your dear lady's birthday, I'm proposing a $100 challenge, and I'll put up $50 more if it's met, since I'm still flush with stimmy cash. Love you and Agnes. Your love makes me all warm and tingly. The best is yet to be, my friend. Thank you, Rico. Your buddy Rico, joyful and tingly in DeBerg. And since you weren't live last night, hopefully you and Agnes were doing something special. This will, of course, carry over till tomorrow. Cheers, my friend. Cheers. Cheers, Rico. Thank you so very much indeed. Thank you. And so what that means is there's $100 worth of challenge on the table, and that would get us down to, if that's met, that would get us down to $7, and then the extra $50 would get us down to $650. And that would be fantastic and wonderful, in fact. Thank you. Thank you again to Rico, and thanks to everybody who's helping to keep the program on the air. Okay? Okay. So let's get back to something orderly. Don't buck, Buchanan. Robin! Jeffrey gets us off and rolling today. James Buchanan, the 15th president of the United States, was born on this day in 1791. Not 1891 or 1991, but 1791. My hooves are so big it's hard for me to type, and sometimes I hit the wrong key. No worries, Jaffrey. No worries. Buchanan was president right before Lincoln from 1857 to 1861, and it was during this time period that the southern states began to secede from the Union and threaten civil war. Sadly, Buchanan is ranked often as one of the worst presidents due to his inability to keep the Union intact. Hell, today Buchanan might be considered a hero because most of the Southerners are worth hanging on to because of their recent abhorrent and arcane legislation. Hell, let them go! And without the funding and financial contributions from the northern states, watch the South go to hell. Well, Jeffrey has something in the way of a point. And by the way, you know, some other facts regarding James Buchanan, our only bachelor president, because every other president had been married at some point. You know, Jefferson was a widower. But James Buchanan was our only committed bachelor president. Mm-hmm. And in point of fact, he was known back then for the fact that he kept company with a Southern senator. James Buchanan was from Pennsylvania, and he kept company with a senator from Alabama named Rufus King, for whom King County, Washington was eventually named. And then later on, King County, Washington took some steps to include Dr. King, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., in that name as well. But nobody really called Rufus King Rufus. They called him Nancy. And they did that because, well, among other things, Rufus King and James Buchanan were known to, well, sleep together, literally. It's entirely possible that James Buchanan was the United States' first gay president. Not quite out, not quite proud, but very possibly. Mm-hmm. So I just thought I would add that to what Jeffrey had to say. But with Georgia's new laws, Stacey Adams so eloquently shoved right up the cracker ass of Louisiana's John Kennedy the other day, as well as sharing some with Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America. With all the voter restriction laws and voter suppression tactics, Georgia is beginning to resemble the old country of Georgia, which was part of the former Soviet Union. With a congressional thought, Jeffrey jumps in. Yes, things were so bad in Congress of old country Georgistan that they had to go hide out to carry on their caucus. So hence the mountain village became known as the, wait for it, yes, the Hideaway Mountain is a meeting place for the old Georgian Soviet Republic Congress took place in the Caucasus Mountains. Yeah, we're gonna work on Jeffrey's geographical skills here soon. Then there's Florida with Governor Ron Death Sentence DeSantis, who just signed legislation that makes it legal to run over protesters. So Bubba and the boys with their pick'em up trucks and Confederate flag waving, Trump truck can just drive down a road with protesters, run them over, and kill them dead. The hell has this country become? Jeffrey, with a courting thought, says, by the way, don't be so sure that the highest court in the land, you know, the court with the lowest legal morals, won't actually uphold this race-driven death match. I don't know about you, but right now, James Buchanan, the former 15th president, is looking really relevant to me. So this has been Joey's Journal for Friday, the 23rd day of April, with Jeffrey hoping for a supreme being to intervene on the Supreme Court. And there's a $10 Let the South Go South challenge on the table, courtesy of Jeffrey and Joey. And I'm of mixed feelings about that, but you know that. I've addressed that in the past. I think there's lots of good progressive people in the South. There's just not enough of us. And it's a different thing, as John Bridavo or I or any number of Southern progressives can tell you. It's a different thing to be progressive in a place like this. But that's okay. That's all right. So we'll get the conversation started this evening. Oh, that's funny. I just got a note from Haley in Arkansas. I can hear the power tools under your reading of Joey and Jeffrey's journal. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. And, well, It'll go on for a while, but hopefully we'll get through the program okay. And all kinds of noises around here. Thanks going out, getting us started this evening. On the challenges. Thank you to Jude in the Great Northwest answering Rico's Happy Birthday Agnes challenge. Thank you. Thank you very kindly, Jude. You are a dear. And thank you very kindly to Ralphs. And thank you to Andy the Angry Jew. We've got 70 of the 100 met. And Jeremy jumped in and said, let the South go progressive. There we go. So Joey and Giraffe's challenge has been met. And we've got, 60 to six. We got 40 to go on Rico's Happy Birthday Agnes challenge. And she will be thrilled when she hears that. Yes, we will get the party started. Thank you, Andy. Good to hear from you, my friend. And thank you to Kevin. Kevin jumping in, so now we've got $15 to go on the Happy Birthday Agnes challenge. We'll just call it a Happy Birthday Agnes kind of evening, and maybe we'll get all of it knocked out. That would be wonderful if we could. And, maybe I'll take a break once we get the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable group going and see if I can coax and cajole her into coming back here and just, saying a word or two, because she's kind of shy. She's like a little fawn in the forest, who doesn't like a lot of big noises or anything. She's easily spooked, and she also has big, sharp teeth and can rip the flesh from a human being before they even know that they've been, that they've been flayed. But anyway. So we are $15 away from meeting Rico's challenge. Thank you. Thank you, Rico, and thanks to everybody who's jumped in. Thank you so very much. And that'll get us, we'll get us down to $6.50 to go to finish the week. Okay. So here's a thing. I need to get this out of the way. I mean, it's not a big deal. But the news broke that, yes, in fact, oh, my God, Caitlyn Jenner has decided to run for the governor's in the recall election for governor of the state of California. And I figured I would get out in front of this, because where before no one would have given a damn what I thought about Caitlyn Jenner running for governor of the state of California in the recall election. And quite possibly, in the best of all possible worlds, no one should still care what I think of Caitlyn Jenner running for governor of California in the recall election. I scarcely care. But things are a little different now. And so, I am obliged to say things on account of certain changes in status, gender, that sort of thing. Don't worry. Don't everybody just let's not have half the community disappear and go away. This won't take long, and it won't hurt at all. But let's be clear. I despise Caitlyn Jenner. Now, when one is sort of fumbling and stumbling through the process of coming out and transitioning and being trans and everything, you have to learn some rules. And one of those is there's no right way to transition, and everybody's transition is different, and your mileage may vary, and all transitions are valid. And I'm kind of going to call bullshit on some of that this evening. Because for the very life of me, and I apologize in advance. These are always thorny. I apologize if I offend anybody. It is not my intent to offend. I'm merely trying to come up with some sort of viable alternative or some sort of viable analogy Yeah, right. I know. Brother Deacon Asa is already warning me. Careful now, Kincaid. Remember, you now speak for the entire trans community, the entire world. Yeah, I know. So, me, as a liberal or progressive or whatever moniker we're using these days, as a Democrat, me being supportive of Caitlyn Jenner, who, among other things, is a Republican who hasn't voted since 2016 when she voted for nitwit fucking Nero, who also said along the way that she did not think, back in the day, did not think gay people should be able to get married, who killed somebody with her car. The idea that I or anybody else in the trans community should be supportive of Caitlyn Jenner because of her transness is hogwash. Or, as our president likes to say, malarkey. Me supporting Caitlyn Jenner or approving even of her candidacy, with her being a Republican and filthy, stinking rich for mainly being famous for being famous, well, that's a little like Oprah joining the Klan. Or, you know, a nice Jewish boy fresh out of his bar mitzvah joining the Proud Boys or the Oath Keepers or the Free Percenters. Mm-mm. No. No. And so I was kind of sickened when, because I was hoping somebody would wiser up, but they haven't. Because it's a great racket. She's going to make a ton of money. She's going to make a ton more money. And her face will probably... You know what would probably be the best thing in the world for the trans community? Is if she was just another fucking candidate. Just another human being. Just another miserable goddamn Republican running to fuck up California. Among other things, she's kind of a COVID-iot. Talking about how Gavin Newsom mishandled the pandemic. Horse shit. Gavin Newsom didn't mishandle the pandemic. It's quite possible that, you know, thousands of people who poured onto Huntington Beach and LARPed and smollocked and grabulated and went all butthole to belly button and hooted and barked and grunted at each other and you know, left their masks at home. They may have mishandled the pandemic, but Gavin Newsom didn't. Oh, fuck no. And so, God, she's stupid. And have we not had enough of celebrity politicians? Of people who think that they're white privilege, their wealth privilege, their status privilege somehow makes them qualified to hold public office? I mean, we've fought back against some of that shit during the nominating process this past year. You know, we rejected Michael Bloomberg, who actually had political experience, but ran thinking that he could just buy the nomination. But the Republicans, you know, I guess Caitlin figures that they'll fall for that kind of shit. By the way, apparently, I was informed today that Caitlin Jenner's candidacy is being managed by, wait for it, this is not a joke, Brad Parscale. You know, the guy who got the White House for nitwit Nero in 2016. That's one of the things that kind of gives me the creeps about all of this. Because he'll have her all over creation. And you might remember Brad Parscale, because the last time we heard from Brad Parscale, he was running around shirtless drunk in South Florida with a member of the local constabulary, several of them, eventually handcuffing him and taking him off for a domestic violence or a mental health check or both. Remember? Yeah. Because his wife had decided she was afraid of him because he was drunker than Adam's off ox and wanting to play with firearms. Florida. Yeah, I know. So there's a reason for concern. And I know Billable Rick may want to opine on this during the front porch or other Californians for that matter. I only fret a little bit, Sparky, Roger, former Californian. I only fret because those godforsaken recall elections in California are just a mess. So if I understand correctly, it's not like she has to run for a nomination. You can just throw your hat into the ring. Porn stars, you know, whatever. And the goal is to water down the vote so that somebody else can sneak in. Now, I've been told that Gavin Newsom is in good shape, but I still adhere to that old political truth that there are only two ways to run an election, that is scared to death and unopposed, and Gavin Newsom is anything but unopposed. So I read the news with some trepidation. I don't think she can win, but I think she can probably siphon off enough votes. And we are talking about voters in America who have proven that they can be so goddamn dumb that they will vote for a huckster, bankruptcy artist, real estate con man, and for four and you know, and let him have the nuclear codes. You know, what rank does the state of California occupy all by itself relative to other economies on planet Earth? What, fifth? The fifth largest single economy is one state in the United States? Something like that? And so I felt like it was necessary that I should say that. And frankly, in her campaign announcement, like I said, the COVIDiocy was just dripping off the page. Holy shit, she could get millions of people dead. Millions more people. Hundreds of tens of thousands of people dead or more. Yeah. Lee in New York pointing out the last time that person had a successful run was in the Olympics. Yeah, that you earned that. That was good. That was good. Yeah, I know. Ralph says, oh my God, Caitlyn Jenner's campaign is being run by Brad Parscale. It's either he's fallen a long way or she's come up in the... Well, she's got enough money to hire him. And he will take anybody's money and, you know, buy another home somewhere. Or maybe a Ferrari. Or was it a Lamborghini? I think it was a Ferrari. Steve in New York says, supporting Caitlyn Jenner, no trans person should support her any more than any gay man should support Roy Cohn or Milo Yiannopoulos or any fucking log cabin Republican. Well, there's that. And Matt in San Francisco says, subject line, Caitlin, when a large segment of your own community don't like you much and the majority of the base you are appealing to hate you, it's hard to imagine a groundswell of support for your candidacy. Oh, so true. Methinks she's just missing the time in front of the camera. She could be lens thirsty. She could be very lens thirsty. Is that a thing? It is now, lens thirst. Yeah, I think you're right, Matt. And well, that's the other part of it. And this is the part I can't wrap my head around. This is the, you know, Oprah joining the Klan part. No, Oprah's not joining the Klan. But is this the operation of wealth privilege on a person who would otherwise be a part of a marginalized community? How do you stay registered? I mean, if she really, why not just drop the Republican affiliation and be a fucking independent? But no, she's a Republican. when Republican legislatures all across this country are actively involved in hating her and everyone like her? Does she need to go to a big Republican rally so that people can despise her in person? How does that work? I'm just flummoxed. I mean, this is... It was funnier when Dave Chappelle did it. Right? You remember the sketch? The old racist black guy who didn't know he was black and was a racist because he was blind? Well, you know, you wait long enough. Between that and The Simpsons, everything eventually that has been fictitiously presented becomes fucking truth. Well, thank you. Thank you, Billable Rick. I've been awarded a cowbell for Lens Thirst. Now, I'll happily take it. And Billable says, happy birthday, Agnes, and fuck, or don't, Caitlyn Jenner challenge. I'll kick in the rest of the 15 to meet the happy birthday, Agnes challenge, so thank you. And I'll up the ante by making a $20 fuck or don't Caitlyn Jenner challenge. I'll kick in 20 bucks to kick Caitlyn in the teeth. Sorry for that metaphor at this moment. And then double it once it's smashed for a total of 40 bucks. So if somebody else has 20 bucks laying around, the happy birthday, Agnes, and fuck or don't Caitlyn Jenner challenge is on the table. And that'll get us down to, let's see. Yeah, ooh, awesome. That'll get us down below 600 bucks. And that'll mean we're fully funded for everything but 2 days this week. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Billable Rick. Why ask why? Billable notes, Caitlyn Jenner is an apathetic airhead. She was smart enough to weasel her way into being famous for being famous. I mean, she did win a medal once in the Olympics. What was it, 1976? In the decathlon? But then there were some Wheaties endorsements and stuff. Maybe that was... And no, there was other wealth that came into that family, too. But what I... And look, culturally, I remember when... My dear friend Bart Kopp, who was brilliant, but he would go on and on and on about Survivor, and it's possible there, and that was kind of the beginning of reality TV. And remember, Survivor was brought to you by the guy who would go on to produce The Apprentice, who to this day is sitting on tapes of. We do believe, of Nitwit Nero, just casually throwing out that word that has all the same letters as ginger, but isn't ginger. And I never got into reality TV, and so when Keeping Up with the Kardashians became a cultural phenomenon, I was almost entirely oblivious to it. I, for the life of me, could not figure out the fascination. And now, times having changed, and I walk into a place for, you know, that sells cosmetics, and there's Kim Kardashian, KKW brand cosmetics, and damned if she's not a billionaire. And I'm still trying to figure out how. Yeah. Well, I've got some agreement from Brother Deacon Asa. Yes, yes, Caitlyn Jenner is the Clayton Bigsby of the trans community. She was a fervent Trump supporter. Figure she has a thing for the exalted shroom-dong too early in the evening. Evening? It's too early anytime, anywhere. Jesus, don't... Ew, God. Man, talk about... I think you just wiped out a day's... Well, hey, big thing. I had... solid food yesterday, which is a big deal for me. The healing is coming along very nicely. The bruising is diminishing and disappearing. And the dentist tells me we'll be able to start the next phase of the great reconstruction process inside my mouth because once the swelling's completely gone down, as you can tell, hey, look, I've got a nice little lisp. And yes, Sylvester the cat is on the way. I'm making it worse than it is, but it is very definitely there. Yeah. But that was a big deal. But ruining a lot of meals with that mushroom reference. And that mushroom ain't got no umami in it. Just a thing for mommy. So I'm only making it worse, aren't I? Yeah. Thank you, Henry. Henry has answered Billable Rick's Fuck Caitlyn Jenner or Not, But Anyway, Happy Birthday Agnes Challenge. And on top of it all, that means that we are now down to 560. 560 to go to finish the week, and that's tremendous. Thank you. Thank you very much, Henry. Much appreciated. Caitlyn cover. This is an astute observation from Matt in San Francisco. Don't forget the cover she can provide for the Republicans. They can't be transphobic if they have a trans person running on their side. See, we don't hate them all, just the children. Yeah. Mm. And there's always the chance that she is a stalking horse for someone else. And I think that's probably the most likely scenario. Just anything to drain away enough votes because of these stupid jungle setups for this election. Drain away enough votes, and maybe you don't get to keep Gavin Newsom, but hopefully that's not the case. I think Gavin's a lot smarter than Gray Davis was. In fact, Scott in San Diego pointing out, one California governor recall experience was quite enough, thank you. I lived through the recall of Governor Gray Davis, followed by the Arnold debacle. Ugh. And, you know, they are that somewhere, somebody out there thinks they've got a real shot, and it ain't Caitlyn Jenner. Well, okay, true. Lee in New York says, not supporting Caitlyn. Feel free to support her as much as I support Trump's advisor, Stephen Miller. He made me say, oi, gewalt, more times than I can count. I understand. Yeah, well, they're both of them in their own right, capos or Sonderkommandos of a sort. No, the solid food was actually angel hair pasta with some Alfredo sauce on it. Lee wanted to know, was it Jell-O? No, J-E-L-L-O. It was angel hair pasta with Alfredo sauce, and it made me very happy. Very happy indeed. But I am, let's go ahead and finish the ruining the meals. I'm to the point where every now and then I spit out a little bit of dental embroidery. I think there's like a sampler that says welcome home or something, you know, sewn into my gums. But, got a checkup on May the 18th, and after that, well, yeah, we'll hopefully keep the crowdfunding campaign going strong enough to get those prosthetics taken care of. That's where we are. Congratulations, Earther. I had the Pfizer Calzine number one today. Feeling very slightly odd. Temperature normal. Haven't started yelling, boogity boogity cheese, or liquid barcodes. Well, that just because you haven't yet doesn't mean you won't. Flavio in Wisconsin is scheduled for his first shot and wanted to know, you know, what to expect. And, you know, the fact of the matter is you just have to wait until you start. You'll know that the vaccine is working when you start getting secret messages from Bill Gates via 5G through the fillings in your teeth, telling you when and where to go for the next Rosicrucian, Illuminati, Bilderberger, Shriners meeting, Freemasons, Knights Templars. That's how you know. So I wouldn't be quite so cocky, Earther. But congratulations just the same. Okay. Well, thank you for that. I appreciate that, Darlene. Darlene, seriously, Robin? So, full disclosure, I am a differently able-bodied woman. You're concerned about criticizing a trans woman because you're going through a transition yourself? My apologies if I'm misunderstanding, but there are always going to be asshole trans people, just like there are asshole disabled people, i.e. Greg Abbott and that young Republican congressman. Matthew Cawthon. Darlene says, I don't care to look up that liar's name, but you know. There are so many more examples, and it's shocking when you realize it, so welcome to the club, my dear friend. I'd like to think that all disabled people get it, but they do not. I'm sure Tracy can opine on those traitors within her esteemed minority group, and please be sure to emphasize the quotes, quote minority, unquote, group. Maybe there will come a day, Darlene says, when we just break people down into assholes and not assholes. And maybe that'll be a great day. Yeah, but I do feel the need to, because you'd be surprised. I've learned all these new terms, but no. In this case, you know, I think maybe the if was over was overly unwarranted, because I'm not objecting to a trans person. I'm objecting to an obnoxious, rich Republican person. Yeah, I'm in, which is really funny for a trans girl to say. Caitlyn Jenner running for California governor. Sorry about that. That just happened. Usually when one transitions, it becomes more of a matter of, are you in yet? But, yeah, she announced, I'm in on Twitter, joining a growing list of candidates seeking to oust Newsom from office. Thank you, Ralphs, for sending this along, the Associated Press story. For that, and see, this is why I said that it was really pretty, her statement was really pretty dippy. For the past decade, we have seen the glimmer of the golden state reduced by one-party rule that places politics over progress and special interests over people. I just know Brad Parscale wrote that. Really? Suddenly the... Madison. Ah, thank you, Steve, in New York. Madison Cawthorn, not Matthew. Madison. Yeah, little liar. Not you, Steve. Cawthorn. One-party rule that places politics over progress? Excuse me? Since when have Republicans, you know, like since 1912, ever offered anything in the way of progress? Okay, maybe Nixon signing the EPA into law. Maybe that counts. But damned little else. Everything else has been pure regression. Special interests over people? A Republican actually had the gall to say that? And a lightning bolt didn't just immediately appear just pfft, and done? Yeah. So, among other things, she critiqued, like I said, Newsom's response to the pandemic, and talked about children missing a year of school. Oh, trying, just trying. I'm looking, and it's nice all the way down. At the very final paragraph of the AP story, Jenner also could face questions about a 2015 fatal crash in which she rear-ended two cars. A 69-year-old woman was killed when her car was pushed into the path of an oncoming Hummer. And she walked. That is your wealth. That's your white wealth privilege there. this is... I hope this is as silly as it certainly seems. Thank you. Thank you very kindly, Todd. Todd just got us down to 5:30. Thank you, Todd. And Irwin with a note, white male heterosexual. I know there are plenty of assholes in my group. No one's ever doubted this, unfortunately. Yeah, well, but it's the default position. Mm-hmm. Oh, congratulations, Jeremy. Jeremy in Vermont says, I'm all done. I got my second shot yesterday and can now receive Sirius Bill Gates satellite radio. It's a new secret Sirius channel, you know. Oh, yeah, and you tune it, you tune it in through the fillings in your teeth. And sometimes if you turn your head the wrong way, you know, and if you stand in the snow, your head gets covered up with snow and somebody has to brush it off because the satellite reception is no good with the, you know, with snow, literal snow. As to Madison Cawthon, the only reason I corrected is because his name so fits him as the white supremacist entitled trust fund baby dickhead that he is. Well, don't hide your light under a bushel, Steve, and speak out loud and speak out proud. But hopefully we will have a rousing conversation coming up here in the next few minutes. I've got a couple of other stories. Speaking of, you know, dickheads. North Carolina, where a lovely couple wanted to get married. And just like the rest of the country, it's legal for two women to get married in North Carolina. And so they arranged for when Tolman Media South Carolina, well, they contracted with them to shoot their wedding. Clarissa Templeton did. And Tegan Bullock, they wanted to record and have photos and memories of their wonderful day. And the guy who owned the franchise for Tolman Media South Carolina, a guy by the name of Seth Curl, well, they signed him on to do the wedding. You know where this story's going, don't you? Of course you do. Well, Seth Curl showed up at the wedding and realized it was two women's. And Seth Curl packed up his shit and left on the day of the wedding. Not even 24 hours before, but the day of.
I ain't gonna take pictures and no lesbianese women are getting married. It's against my religion. I got closely held religious beliefs.
Where's the beer joint? And it broke their hearts because, well, being an asshole apparently comes with those closely held religious beliefs. Ms. Templeton said, there's no way to sugarcoat it. It honestly ruined the entire day, and my wife and I were very depressed on our seven-hour drive to Florida for our honeymoon. We didn't even eat at our own wedding. Because some people just can't... Well, I keep referencing that one line from toward the end of The Sun Also Rises. Not being a bitch is what we have instead of God. Apparently, that didn't fly with Seth Curl. And the thing is, Ms. Templeton went so far as to make sure that she was hiring LGBTQ-friendly businesses. And she told everybody what was going on, and then the guy shows up and just screws him over. And this crap goes on all over the place. Also this month, a gay couple from Wake County, North Carolina, McKay Henderson and Ike Edwards, were told by the owner of Highway Grove Estate, an event venue in Fuquay, Varina, that they could not hold their wedding there because gay. And you know that these are the same people who, back before the passage of the Civil Rights Act, were like, no, you can't have your event here because black! Yeah. And Ms. Templeton paid $1,086 for 4 hours coverage of the wedding. And then they got got confirmation of the contract. But it didn't matter. Yeah. As the ceremony began, Templeton said she noticed the videographer was missing. I didn't see him, and I started to panic in my mind. I snapped myself out of it and told myself, well, maybe he had some technical difficulties. Maybe he went to the car to get something. Then I shut it off in my head. He just left. The photographer just left. Didn't say anything to anybody. Just packed up and left. God almighty. By the way, Scott in San Diego, this is just silly. It wasn't too long ago that media and the public believed that Trump running for president, much less his prospects of winning, was just plain silliness. Right. And that's why I'm cautious with regard, you know. Oh, Billable Rick says, Caitlyn Jenner's vehicular homicide. If my memory is correct, I believe Caitlyn was talking to her on her handheld cell phone when she crashed into the car driven by the 69-year-old lady who was pushed into the path of a Hummer and killed. I suspect that Caitlyn's large check to her homicide victim's family cleared. Yeah. Billable, isn't there a pre-trial diversion? Isn't that what we're looking for here? Mm-hmm. Oh, and yes, absolutely. Frank wanted to make sure that I hit all the high points because, you know, wasn't here yesterday. But, yes, it is the 23rd day of April 2021. And America's truth detector, Rush Limbaugh, is still dead. Mm-hmm. Oh, sure. And legal analysis coming from Brother Deacon Asa. Oh, that guy walking out on the wedding, it's okay if it's a sincerely held breach of contract, Kincaid. I laugh, but what do you want to bet that's true? What do you want to bet when they sue him? Well, I had a sincerely held belief. There's only one problem. Every time she responded to him by email, the photo that's attached to all of her emails shows her getting kissed by, you know, her fiancé, a girl. Well, maybe Kurt felt like that was kind of cool until he realized that it wasn't her cousin. You just can't. I know. And, of course, I would be remiss. We've had another mass shooting since last we spoke. This one having come to the NRA's roulette wheel of death, having stopped on lovely San Diego in the downtown gas lamp quarter. A shooting left one person dead and as many as four others wounded Thursday night. One person was detained and officers apparently found a firearm. Started about 10:30 p.m. at 5th Avenue and J Street in San Diego. Maybe a few other locations, too, along 5th Avenue. All that according to reporting in the San Diego Union Tribune. One person died at the scene. Three others were taken to hospitals. A restaurant employee was shot at Fifth Avenue and J Street in the Gaslamp Quarter, a few blocks from Petco Park. Police said two people were taken into custody. No other details were given at this time. Because, of course, and hey, don't worry, nothing's going to happen. I mean, does the NRA even bother to put out press releases now saying, do they even bother to say now is not the time for us to talk about our murder problem? Or do they just sit back and chuckle in the midst of their bankruptcy trials? Yeah, we know, we got another one. Oh, I tell you what, there's lots of that natural manure out there, isn't there, Wayne the Peter? Yeah, a lot of it. I know. Kyle's a bit wrought. Kyle's typing in all caps. How much do we need to see before we ban the guns and the cops? Jesus fucking Christ. Well, however much it is, we haven't even begun to get there, I guess. Although now there is some mention, speaking of cops, there is some mention now that an investigation may result in further charges against Derek Chauvin. Because I guess a few years back, he beat the living bejesus out of a black teenager, you know, back 2017. ABC had the report. The Justice Department. What a difference a presidential election makes, huh? You know, Nitwit Nero was still president. There wouldn't be a Justice Department investigation of him of Derek Chauvin beating the hell out of a black teenager back in 2017. No, Derek Chauvin would have already been pardoned and would have a goddamn presidential Medal of Freedom hanging around his fucking neck. And if that doesn't make you sick at your stomach, well, you know, stop telling us what makes you sick at your stomach. Yeah, I know. Federal investigators are looking at videos from the 4th day of September 2017 in which Derek Chauvin can be seen striking a black teenager in the head so hard that the boy needed stitches, and then holding the boy down with his knee for nearly, 17 minutes, and ignoring complaints from the boy that he couldn't breathe. This is probably, this is some of that stuff that the jury was not allowed to hear and still convicted him on all three charges, because he's just that much of an asshole. I wonder if he'll file an ineffective assistance of counsel claim. No, they advised me not to testify, and if I would have testified, the jury would have seen what a great guy I am. Consider that probably as an omnibus habeas corpus proceeding after all of his appeals have failed. Oh, and can this please go away as a thing? Can we disappear the gender reveal party? I mean, we've had forest fires started, people have died, and then there's Tannerite. You can buy this stuff by the bucketful. It's inert until you mix it in such a way as to make it responsive to gunfire. And so up in Kingston, New Hampshire, remember Carl and I were talking about New Hampshire being the Alabama of New England the other night? Ta-da! Many residents, and like I said, from the New Hampshire Union Leader, Many residents in communities across southern New Hampshire and northern Massachusetts reported hearing the explosion just after 7 p.m. as a Kingston, New Hampshire man set off 80 pounds of tannerite that he had packed with blue chalk to reveal the fact that he and, I guess, his partner, spouse, whatever, were going to have a precious little baby boy child. Houses 20 miles away were shaken by the blast for a gender reveal party. It remains amazing to me why the fuck tannerite is even illegal. Well, I mean, you can't really do nothing with it until you shoot it. And this does what in America? Where everybody can shoot something? Just after 7 p.m., I guess last night, 80 pounds. And all of that to declare or to display whatever, to celebrate the genitals of a soon-to-be-born child. Wildfire, Southern California, plane crash in Mexico, massive explosion in a quarry in New Hampshire. Goddamn gender reveal parties have done more damage in this country than every little trans kid trying to play fucking volleyball, basketball, wrestling, in the country combined. Kind of probably should have saved that for more on Monday, but I didn't want it to go stale. Ginger reveal. And you know, all you got to do is go to YouTube and just look up tannerite, and you'll see all kinds of shit getting blown up. And sometimes, like, you know, they'll use so much that the door will fly off the old refrigerator and come and decapitate the guy shooting the tannerite. Hey, y'all, watch this. Today's installment of the Wile E. Coyote Charles Darwin Awards are brought to you by Dude with a Shitload of Tannerite. Yeah. What's that, Kyle? Says, as far as Chauvin, lock the fucker up for life. Also, the Republicans are going to really end up hating that they didn't just let the Black Kenyan Muslim usurper have his Supreme Court pick. You know, Robin, Kyle says, I'm beginning to think us Americans as a whole aren't the smartest people in the world. My God. Well, look, you know, all art and all fiction is a reflection of reality. Wile E. Coyote was not drawn from the life of coyotes. That's good old American anthropomorphism right there. And Billable Rick says, stop telling us we can't have gender reveal parties. You had one for yourself on December 31st, 2020. But I didn't blow anything up. I just blew some minds, that's all. Yeah. Randy Radar says, when guns are illegal, only cops will have guns, or is that only criminals will have guns? I'm so confused. No. It's when bongs are outlawed, only outlaws will have bongs, okay? Right. When bacon is outlawed, only outlaws will have bacon. Sheesh. You had one yourself on December 31st. That was good. Further charges for Derek Chauvin. Brother Deacon Asa says, oh, please, please, dearly beloved goddess, please let the new charges be for Chauvin having passed counterfeit $20 bills. Oh, you guys are in good form, good form. But I have filibobstered the conversation. I think somebody accidentally hit the connect. Sparky's the only one who can start the connection. Now, that's just, you know, right. So I'll wait for Sparky to fire up the transmitter in the old holler tree, and we'll get Friday on the front porch rolling in proper fashion. Yeah, true. Kyle says Wile E. Coyote and Roadrunner are still the best cartoons ever, though, probably because, like you said, they have so much truth baked into them. Oh, God, they do. Cheese. I simply adore cheese. Okay. Waiting for the connection. Ah, there it is. That's the way it's supposed to work. Thank you, Sparky. Thank you very kindly. How are you, Sparky? Anybody? Oh, what's that? Darlene says gender reveal parties. Shooting off shit are like a seriously bad trend and overdone to the point of stupidity, like tattoos are becoming. Once everyone's doing them, well, they cease to be unique or special. Yeah, maybe the first one wasn't such a good idea either. Hey, Sparky, I hear you now.
Okay. I have a mute button on my mic, and then there's a mute button on Skype, and the mute button on Skype was on.
Ah, okay. So. Well, how's your afternoon?
Well, I got my second COVID shot yesterday.
Hot damn.
So I've been feeling like a half a bubble off today, but that isn't my only problem. I slept wrong the other night, and my neck's been bothering me on my right side. So I got the shot on my left side again. But every time I turn my neck, it pops and it doesn't a lot of pain. It's just sore.
Are you taking ibuprofen?
Oh, I got. You mean Tylenol?
No.
Is the weed working, Sparky?
Aleve? I got some Aleve.
The weed.
Okay. I'll take Aleve.
Yeah, Aleve is naproxen sodium.
But anyway, I was going to say, Caitlyn Jenner is like the Gary Coleman of this recall.
In what way?
You know, well, he comedic. I mean, everybody was laughing about it, as far as I know. But Gary Coleman ran
That's right. I forgot he ran in the Great Avis thing.
Yeah, so did a lot of other people. Arianna Huffington. I forget. It was like
Mary Carey, the porn star.
Yeah, the porn star.
20, 25, more. It was a
Larry Flint was in it.
It was crazy.
The science teacher at my high school was in it.
Yes. I remember.
So y'all feel confident this is nothing to worry about.
Nah, Newsom is.
Republicans won't vote for her.
It's going to be 55-60% the no vote.
Can you all hear me?
Yeah.
How are you, Robin?
I'm good, thanks.
It's Asgardian.
I know
We know.
I recognized her voice.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to butt in. I was having audio trouble, and it wouldn't connect for my headset wouldn't play audio for a second. Sorry about that.
I understand. You're good. We'll come back around.
Okay.
Regarding the recall, no election is guaranteed, as you pointed out, Robin. But I posted a thing in the chat room. If 100 people vote in the recall election, and 51 of them vote to remove Gavin Newsom and 49 vote to keep him, and there are, say, 20 people running in the election, a person running in the election could get 25, 30 votes and become the new governor, even though 49 people wanted to keep the old governor. And that is the disaster of the California recall election.
Well, that's what I had just kind of bugging me in the back of my mind, is that what does, for those of you who voted in the last one with Gray Davis, what did that ballot look like? How many pages long was it? And how far did you have to go to find Gray Davis?
Well, Gray Davis is only the first question. Well, shall Gray Davis remain as governor? Yes, no.
Yes.
And he is not in the list of people to vote for as to the new governor.
How screwed up can the process get?
So to remain as governor, you need 51 votes. Again, out of this 100-vote scenario.
Right. I get it.
Example.
You need the 51 votes. But for the person to be elected governor, they simply need more votes than any other candidate on the ballot. So realistically, 49 people could vote to keep Gavin Newsom, and 20 people vote for Caitlyn Jenner, and Caitlyn Jenner is the new governor.
That's the point that I was trying to make, is that it's not as open and shut as if there was a primary or something.
No,
it's a two-part. It's a two-part question, essentially, on the ballot. It's the first part's in the nature of a referendum. Second part is, who should replace the person. Now, what I want to know, I can't remember this, but if you vote not to recall the governor, do you still get to vote on the alternative?
That was my next question. Can you move on to page two in case they do recall?
The way the ballot's built, shall this person remain as governor? Yes, no. If this person is recalled, who is your choice to replace them? So you can vote to keep the governor and still vote for a replacement. So what Gavin Newsom should do, I'm not saying he will, but what he should do, and the Democrats should get behind it, is have a single candidate, but hurting Democrats is like hurting cats, but have a single relatively strong Democratic candidate run and hope that all the crazies split their vote. So you could vote to retain Gavin Newsom, but the event you lose that election, you're given an opportunity to vote for a decent Democratic candidate.
Yeah.
Scott wants in the conversation about the recall.
Oh, Scott. Hey, Scott. What's up, man?
Sorry, I had trouble. My iPhone has one. Skype and my iPhone have combined forces to confuse me, and I couldn't find the unmute switch. Jesus. And I've had coffee, so I can't blame it on non-wakefulness.
Need more coffee, Scott.
I remember the recall election here in California. My problem with it is, now see, you would think, if you didn't know anything else about anything, that the public puts up a recall election, and they get enough names on the petitions to bring one into being. You would think maybe there's something wrong with the current governor, and we need to make that person go away and bring in a new person, all for the betterment of California and the people in it. Well, that's not how, at least the Gray Davis one, that wasn't the thinking behind it. It was an orchestrated Republican bullshit maneuver that wound us up with Arnold. You know, and we all know, those of us who lived in California during that.
I think the word you're looking for is coup.
Well, coup is a pretty strong word. And rat fucking with the system, I think, is a better way to put that. Steve, you were here. I think Rick was here in what was that, 2003?
Yeah, I voted in it.
was a mess. That was a total mess. And what happened
after the Enron debacle.
Yeah, and what we basically had during the Schwarzenegger administration is fiscal austerity, and there was no money in the state for anything. All the services were cut back. The state issued IOUs to vendors for payment of, for goods and services. It was just a joke. I think the California bond rating was reduced to grade C or D. It was horrible because, Arnold refused to raise taxes to try and, balance the budget. He basically borrowed a lot of money, long-term debt. And the situation right now is California has a surplus, I think, of, is it 35? I don't think it's billion. Yeah, it's 35 billion. I think it's a billion. $35 billion.
The GOP won't stand for that, Rick.
What have you been smoking, boy?
Yeah, right.
They can't let that happen.
I think it's $2 billion.
Oh, it's $2 billion. Okay. But there's a healthy surplus. Governor Brown created a rainy day fund. I think during the second.
That's what it's in.
Which helps. And so I think Newsom has been using some of that money to help fight the COVID pandemic and various other initiatives he has. But, he's got a lot more charisma than Gray Davis ever did. Gray Davis, his charisma was very much like his name,
I found out we were number one in something else today.
What's that?
We're number one. We have the lowest COVID rate in the country in California.
Right. Wow. Hey, that's a cowbell. Do you mean Dave Gravis? Somebody wrote in the chat. Oh, that's good. But, the thing is, I think, Newsom is going to open up the economy, I think, in mid-June. And his approval rating is already around maybe 50% or better. So I expect that as the economy opens up, his approval is going to go up. And he's probably going to get, it's probably going to be 55 to 60% or more no on the recall, is my guess. This is not the same state it was in 2003. The Republican registration has now shrunk to like 24%. It's behind independents. Independents are maybe 28, and I think Democrats are like 44, 45. So I just don't see the recall election as being successful for the GOP. But I do agree, I think, with Roger's point that, there should be a safe candidate who's a well-known Democrat that runs maybe with Newsom as kind of a backup, and he supports Newsom's policies, but basically says, hey, if this guy should get recalled, vote for me. They kind of did that with Cruz Bustamante in 2003. He was the lieutenant governor at the time, but it wasn't very well orchestrated, and he had no charisma either, just like Gray Davis. And he ended up only getting, I think, maybe 33% of the vote, maybe not even that.
Donald has to stand up.
One of the problems with that, Rick, is that
Somebody's got their hand up.
A guest. Is that Rick?
They're muted.
Is that me? Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, that's you.
Yeah. Now.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
Talking to this famous crew. Listen to you guys for 4 or 5 years. This is Don Elliott from Prince George.
Oh, hey, Don. How are you?
Hey. I'm doing great.
Welcome to the porch.
Although I'm getting lots of feedback. I did get some message that it would normally go away, eh?
It usually settles down unless, it's best if you're using headphones and a mic.
I'm using headphones. I'm using AirPods.
Then it should resolve.
I'll just give it some time then.
Wait, where are you from?
Prince George, BC, Canada.
Oh, wow. I'm really sorry about the COVID stuff up there. It's hasn't been so good.
Well, it's Because our politicians can't decide. Our politicians can't decide that feedback is terrible. Our politicians can't decide whether they're into the people or if they're into the corporations.
You're in BC? You're in British Columbia?
That's what he said, Steve.
Okay. Who is the premier? Is the premier NDP or is he a conservative?
Horgan, NDP.
So what the hell is going on with BC? I mean, I can see why Ontario with Doug Ford is fucked up, but why BC?
They can't decide. I'm going to unmute, or I'm going to mute and just listen until this feedback resolves itself.
Well, I will tell you, I've used AirPods before. They're not the best. For whatever reason, they're not the best for this.
Could be because of the integrated mic.
Or gremlins.
Yeah, those two. That happens.
Or Agent Fred, you know.
The weird thing about BC, and I had some information about this earlier today. You know, travel's severely restricted. You know, you're not supposed to go much of anywhere, and yet the airport's still open, and that's because why? Because money.
Hey, Robin, I got to tell you. I talked to my partner today in Ontario, and it is astonishing that the COVID response has been in Canada. I mean, astonishing. The vaccine distribution has been a complete nightmare. And I don't blame Prime Minister Trudeau for this. I blame the premiers, particularly Doug Ford, who completely fucked up. But regardless, it is a disaster. Countrywide.
Well, it certainly seems to be the case, and yet it looked like they were getting it right early on, at least in terms of making sure everybody got economic support and all of that. And then
I don't know what happened.
I don't either. And I'm waiting for some members of the Canoodlian contingent to elaborate further on this. I saw a note from Ron in the far recently thawed out north talking about this a few days ago online, and it was just...
It's horrible. I mean, no, Ron and I, we actually are, because my partner's in Ottawa and Ron's in Ottawa, and we've been actually messaging quite a bit back and forth about it. I'll give you a really... So a bad example, there are all these websites that you're supposed to be able to go on to register, to go on a waiting list. Well, my partner called up one of the pharmacies today and said, well, what's this all about? And the pharmacist actually said, none of those websites actually work. In fact, none of those, when you register to go on the waiting list, they don't actually go anywhere. So the only way you can try to get a vaccine is to call all the pharmacies in your area throughout the day and try to get an appointment.
Can you folks hear me now?
Yeah.
Friend of the horns. That sounds about as efficient as the old Soviet Union.
I'm no longer on AirPods. I'm wired in. In BC here, I was logged on both through Costco
pretty good,
Pharmacy and our local Ministry of Health. And I just got my actual date. I go in the 6th of next month for my shot.
Friend of the horn, sentient being, lives in Ontario. He got his first shot the other day of AstraZeneca.
Yeah, I blame Stephen Harper. Stephen Harper was the one who got rid of the last manufacturing facility that Canada had to make its own vaccines.
You got that right.
Yeah, so that left Canada completely vulnerable for something like this.
But Don, if I'm sorry, Steve.
No, go ahead.
No, I mean, I'd love to have an answer to this question. You know, with a shutdown lockdown like this, why are people still being allowed to fly into Canada?
Well, even worse than that, all of our construction, all of our churches, all of our, they're still open and operating. So if they look and find out why COVID is so prevalent and why the numbers are so high, the place they don't give you the stats on mostly
are the churches.
No, not so much that. It's the construction sites and it's the meat plants and the places where people congregate to work. Right? So Cargill in Alberta has hundreds and hundreds of infections, but the provincial government and the health ministries just will do nothing about them. And like I tried to say before my ear pods went belly up or weren't suitable, our governments are scared to act against the conservatives and shut things down the way they should be. They're trying to walk this knife edge of open close. And so as soon as it starts looking a little better, they open up and they open up too much. And then everything starts going up, infection rates go up and hospital rates go up. And then they shut everything down. But with a 2 or 3 week lag time between when they make a difference and when it makes a difference, we have these numbers that are just skyrocketing, going more and more. And these variants and different versions are worse and more communicative and affecting younger and younger people. So the numbers are doing nothing but going off the charts.
And you know something else, and you can tell me if about it's Don, right?
Yeah.
Something else that I don't know if it's happening out there, but you know, it's for the most part coming in from the U.S. You can't if you come into the airport, you can't. The border's closed. However, if you come in through ground, they're letting people in. So what's happening is a lot of these snowbirds from Florida are flying into like Albany and these border towns and then taking Ubers into Ontario and not quarantining.
They're doing the same thing here in BC with Seattle and Spokane and taxiing into BC.
Yeah. Oh, wow. And I'll tell you, it's exactly like you said. It's just been this inconsistent messaging, I mean, if you watch the CBC, you see so many people saying who will say, we don't actually know what we're supposed to do because the messages are so contradictory almost weekly.
Yes.
Am I hitting the right notes here?
It's not quite as bad here in BC, but it is much worse in Ontario.
Ontario is a disaster.
It's falling apart. Yeah, they're coming apart at the seams.
I mean, in fact, what the models say that Ontario, which only has 15,330,000 people, the models are saying that they could hit up to 18,000 cases per day, I think, by the middle to end of May. And if you extrapolate that with the U.S., that's like 300,000 to 350,000 cases a day.
Well, into India style. Yes. At that point.
Yes, and the emergency rooms in Ontario and in Quebec are
worse and worse.
They're getting worse and worse because right there in Ottawa, you have the Ottawa Gatineau region, and if I'm using terms and stuff that nobody knows, please let me know and I'll explain. I know since I have family up there, I know this stuff intimately. I mean, they just now shut the borders down between provinces.
Yeah.
But for the longest time, you had Gatineau is the city right across the Ottawa River in Quebec from Ottawa.
So it's more of a bedroom community, I think, than a...
Yeah, I mean, but they're basically, it's kind of like the capital area. But the point is, you have rules completely different in Quebec, rules completely different in Ontario, but you have people that is such a fluid border there that you have people who work in Gatineau or who live in Gatineau and come to Ottawa. You have people in Ottawa who go to Gatineau to shop, and it was... And you had different closings and all that crap in Quebec versus Ontario,
Yeah.
That's why you, I mean, tell me if this is what I think it is. If I'm not reading it right, tell me.
You're absolutely right so far.
Yeah. But I watch a lot of CBC too, because I want to know what's going on. And it's effing terrifying.
But nobody's asking the questions about where the sources of the infection are. And the same thing is true in the States as it is in Canada. They talk about numbers of infections in the aggregate, but they don't break it down and say where the infections are. And it's meat plants and churches and even hospitals, for God's sake.
Anywhere and the
people congregate. Yeah. And the variants now, maybe, well, they're starting to call the double mix-up from India, they're starting to call it a whole new pandemic. It's not even really related to the first pandemic. We're into a second pandemic, as opposed to a second or third wave.
Yeah, I mean, tell me if I'm wrong here. I have a hard time blaming Trudeau. I think the federal government has done as much as it can. And the other thing too is people need to understand Canada is much more. It's much more of a confederation than the U.S. is. U.S. is because the provinces have a lot more power in some things than the federal government does. And I think in the distribution, you know, whereas in the U.S., admittedly, they left the states are doing the distribution, but in Canada, the provinces have even more power over stuff like this, and they're not coordinating. You have this political crap. And, you know, Trudeau does have a mechanism to basically nationalize everything. It's called the, what's that law called?
Well, they have the Emergency Measures Act.
Right, emergency, the EMA.
Yep.
And he's really reluctant to do that.
I agree with you, Steve, up to the point where how many people have to die before it becomes an emergency? The federal government could exercise a lot of power and a lot of control if they chose to, and the courts would back them up. Because in Canada, we have, unlike you guys in the States, something called a notwithstanding clause, where even if something is unconstitutional or not necessarily in accordance with the Constitution, a provincial or federal government can exercise what's called a notwithstanding clause. And for something like a pandemic, that would stick. So Trudeau could be much more proactive if he wanted to, but he'd rather sit back and try and just stay out of it as much as he can, because the political heat's going to be bad before it's over.
And it'll stick to assholes like Doug Ford.
Absolutely.
And you know what? The fact that Trudeau has a minority government, I think that's also a piece of it.
Well, except very few people up here, very few parties actually want an election. The NDP are running a fine line between being bankrupt all the time. And the Conservatives, if there was an election today, would give Trudeau a majority. Because as bad as Trudeau is, the Conservatives are worse.
I think Doug Ford, for one, has underscored just how bad
the Conservatives are.
Oh, he is.
You got that right.
Oh, that's Trump on steroids, to be honest with you.
He's
makes Stephen Harper look, right? Makes Stephen Harper look responsible.
Mm-hmm. Don't go too far now, Bob, Robin. hey, I'd hate to have to come down there and stop you.
I'd hate to have you to do that too. Your compadre there in BC, Brother Deacon Asa, did point out the vaccine situation isn't as bad as it's being made to sound. He pointed out I can just walk into my local pharmacy and get a vaccine, even though I'm technically not eligible yet.
There are some places you can, because they've highlighted some areas of being especially bad. So those areas have extra access. But if you're not marked as a critical area or a high COVID area, you
Forget
don't
it.
Have that right.
Forget it. Like I said, my partner, it's nearly impossible. And that's probably because of he's in Ontario. That's probably the reason.
You want to be in Alberta with the other neophyte of Harpers or Trumps and be with Jason Kenney, ultra conservative and just as stupid as Ford, without as many people to run over.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Yeah, I mean, I understand Alberta is the West Virginia of.
Yeah, it's Texas. Isn't that where all, that's where all the oil is, like Calgary?
Mostly, yeah.
Yeah, but Texas has something to recommend it. So do we. But I don't know. That's more of a question of who's more stupid, West Virginia Republicans or Texas Republicans.
It's a competition for the bottom.
Well, the conservatives in Alberta could definitely give the GOP in those two places a run for their money.
Yeah, they're right in the running for trying to find the highest diving board.
Oh, and by the way, Brother Deacon Asa points out, I'm not in a high COVID area. I can just go into the pharmacy and get the AstraZeneca.
Well, I can't just go into my local pharmacy and get one.
Neither can my partner.
I'm in a different health region than Asa, so maybe, I mean, it's hard to say what area he's in and how they're running it there. Hmm. Also depends a lot on the demand. The AstraZeneca vaccine got such bad publicity there for a while. There's lots of hesitancy about getting
it. Yeah, that was till the Johnson & Johnson got going.
Yeah.
Well, do you have the same problem in BC where, well, in Ontario, they were having people, the actual demand was less than the supply. So they had people signing up but weren't showing up, or they would have... They would have these big places to distribute vaccine, and nobody would show up because it was AstraZeneca.
I don't think our problem was quite that bad, but it's worse in the lower mainland, I think probably because of the concentrations of people.
Okay. But you did hear about what I was just talking about.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely.
Yeah.
No. People, you never, ever underestimate the stupidity of people. We are just differentiated apes.
And Canada has its stupid, just like we do down here.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And actually, it's kind of weird because it seems like most of your stupid people, or many of them, have come from Canada.
Believe you me, Don, our stupids ain't from Canada.
Yeah. Some of them aren't, but some of them are.
Jordan Peterson?
Gavin McGinnis?
And Jordan Peterson,
the Proud Boys was founded in Canada.
Ianopoulos, I think, is there's a couple of those weird guys that are Canadian.
Yeah, what happened to the good days when funny people and then good musicians used to come from Canada?
Still get a few of them too, just they're farther and fewer between.
And who's the politician from Canada?
Ted Cruz? Rapulito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America. The Cubanadian.
It still boggles my mind that he's allowed to even say the word president. I could be president, because my understanding is he can't be, but he keeps running, even in his own head.
Well, he's white, or he pretends to be.
There you go.
I'm gonna mute for a while because I've talked too much. But Don, I would love to exchange emails and all that shit, because we seem like we have a lot to talk about. I'll put my contact info in the chat shortly.
Bob's got all mine. Go ahead and share it, Bob.
Oh, okay, cool.
I'll mute as well until I'm called on.
We are more than happy to have you in here. We're tickled to have you join the conversation, Don. You're always welcome. And this would be a good time for me to point out that Pat took us down to $505, and then Earther took us down to $485. So we are $485 away from being done with the week, and $485, and then we just got the final week of April next week, and the month is done to the good, and we don't have a big old hole on Monday. And I apologize for my absences and so forth. It just couldn't be helped. But hopefully not for another while. But yeah, we're down to 485. Thank you very kindly. Earther did note, this conversation is hard to follow, but it's still enjoyable. Okay.
Watch out for Bob. He's a natural mimic.
Robin, could I jump in with a quick observation?
Oh, sure, Scott. Go. Yeah, your hand was up.
Steve and the rest of you, on this COVID thing in Canada versus the U.S., U.S. versus Canada, the underlying thing, see, what has been described, I think, have been symptoms of mishandling the situation from the get-go. If people everywhere, governments everywhere, and citizens everywhere had behaved in a manner consistent with addressing it, being grown up about it, and letting the cure take place and the steps toward resolution take place, we wouldn't be in this mess. It's like everybody in America and Canada decided not to put a bag in their upright vacuum cleaner. The end result of that is the
great metaphor.
Well, the dirt collects in the place where the bag would ordinarily be, and nobody's floor gets clean.
Scott?
Yes.
I sort of agree with the metaphor, but I have a difficulty with one aspect. Part of the problem is the science didn't reflect what we know now. So it started off with one version, and as science discovered more and we got more knowledgeable, things got tighter and tighter, and we understood more and more of the jeopardy we were in. But the people that are really against masks and the people that are really your ultra-right wingers are still talking about how at the start of this, we don't need masks. Masks are not necessary.
Yeah.
Masks will not help. And that's where the problem is that these people are still stuck in the past.
Don, Hollywood, California. No, Beverly Hills. Beverly Hills, California, just a couple of days ago, there was an anti-masking protest outside an elementary school. And the weirdos were trying to hand out little handbills and business cards to school children. Now, I don't know. I guess maybe Beverly Hills is a little more civilized than where I live. But if you're an adult and you don't have a mask on and you're trying to hand shit to my kid, my fist is going to find your face real fast. And it
not very ladylike.
No, it's not. And that's one of the problems. I'm still learning, Roger. But then again, you know, Mama Grizzly. I mean, I saw that story and it pissed me off. And then there was the woman in, also in California.
Q Group.
Also in California, a woman who was being videoed, and she had already assaulted a woman inside a store, and she was sitting there lecturing about how she was a child of God, and she didn't need no mask, and she had rights, and then the cop came up and handcuffed her behind her back, and she started screaming, "How dare you?"
One little bit of rationality we have that you folks don't have, though, is that our Human Rights Commission up here said that it is okay to have a person show proof that they don't need a mask because they have a medical reason. In the States, it's illegal to ask for that information.
Well, they claim that under HIPAA, but it's not really.
Well, that's how the rule seems to be being applied down there.
And Robin, this is...
Yeah, Rick.
Rick. And on the note of the vaccines, I don't know whether this is true or not. I looked on Scopes, and they haven't said anything about it yet, so I take this with a grain of salt. But apparently there are stories coming out of Russia now about the Russian vaccine causing massive outbreaks of herpes simplex 1.
Really?
Yeah. Apparently the mRNA version they used is actually rewriting people's DNA. And basically, if you've ever had chickenpox, it'll turn your chickenpox into herpes simplex 1.
And that's cold sores, right?
No, that's genital herpes.
Oh.
Something to remind us all of Trump.
Tremendous gift.
You know where I went.
Yeah, they put in that shit.
You know what happens. You know what happens when you blow the Jolly Green Giant, right?
No.
You get Lyserpes.
Lyserpes, yeah.
But I mean, seriously, so apparently ashamed. It wasn't Boutique vodka they were putting in that bitch.
How do you know?
Because I don't think Boutique vodka gives you herpes.
You ever drank from a bottle after somebody handed one to you? No, huh?
That's only if Donald Trump drinks out of it first.
Or Pootie.
Yeah, true. Well, let's be honest. If that thing, he probably got that vaccine, so the reason we haven't seen Trump in like 6 months is probably because he's got sores all over his mouth from that last state visit.
No, you know, he's moving. He's moving. That was a little piece of news from earlier today. And I'm so sorry to all of our friends in New Jersey. Mar-a-Lago is closing for the season? What?
Let's be honest. It's going into foreclosure, and he's trying to cover his ass.
I'm wondering. And so he's moving to New Jersey.
Oh, and what, I picked up new video.
Deal on Nixon's old house in Redback?
No, yeah, I guess that vermin-infested pile of bricks at Bedminster. But I wish I had, it sort of begs for a Frank Zappa parody, doesn't it?
I may be moving to New Jersey soon, just to raise me up a crop of
It'll Robin, save New York money on the extradition.
The house there on the golf course where he interviewed all the candidates for his cabinet. Remember, it has the white door.
Mm-hmm. Robin, let's be honest. The rats in Mar-a-Lago sued him for ownership or squatters' rights.
Well, adverse possession. Yeah, but I mean, I wonder, because I saw the headline, Trump moving, and I wonder, I just wonder. If he's on the verge of losing the damn thing, or if he's going to lose the litigation that says and he can't live there.
Oh, and Spock says hi, by the way.
Oh, hey to Spock.
He's doing
maybe he just wants to move somewhere so he doesn't have such a long drive to court.
Well, see, the headline says Mar-a-Lago, Trump relocated to New Jersey after Mar-a-Lago closes for summer.
Watch, they're going to crack the thing open, and it's going to look like Lord of the Fucking Flies in there.
Mar-a-Lago is a resort.
I just did a check.
You don't close your resort at summer.
He's moving from Florida to New Jersey to escape the summer heat.
Oh, yeah.
It's either that or he's relocating.
Hold on. The Palm Beach Resort closes just after Memorial Day due to the hot and humid weather in South Florida. Really? He's going to throw away an opportunity to make money off of people who don't know better than to play golf in South Florida in fucking July? Because those people exist.
I thought the golf course was a separate entity down there.
Well, no, he also has Doral. But Mar-a-Lago is its own course.
How come he had to drive to it all the time?
Because it's not, you don't walk out of the resort and just you're on the first hole.
So it's separated from the resort by a few miles, I think.
Yeah, but it's still part of Mar-a-Lago.
Right. It's not contiguous, let's just say.
Yeah, okay. If you stay at the Greenbrier, you gotta go to the Old White, and that's its name. You gotta drive to that too.
Anyhow, could we move to Nixon and the EPA?
Oh, okay, sure.
Robin, before we move on.
Hold on, Rick. Rick, what, Rick?
Oh, I got a new video game fascination recently.
Yeah?
Yep. Have you ever heard of a game called Elite Dangerous?
No.
It's a space flight combat simulator. You'd probably like it. Sounds if you fun. Like flight sims. But it's sandbox, so you actually have to – you get stuff by making money, doing trade missions, combat, or exploring the galaxy. And the game has, I want to say, 21 with like 37 or 40 zeros behind it, solar systems, and each one has like 5 planets. They've actually mapped every known star in our galaxy where they estimate it to be based on our radio spectroscopes or whatever they're called. Radio observatories.
Yeah,
the NASA star maps they made using that of our galaxy, or what they based the galaxy map off of, in Elite Dangerous. every star we know of is in this galaxy.
Wow. Roger, Nixon and the EPA?
Yeah, when Nixon
dealt
with the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency was one of the times that the Republicans used their fancy naming stuff. The Environmental Protection Agency was never created to protect the environment. What it was created was to stop individual states from coming up with this ridiculous patchwork of environmental regulations. And the corporations wanted to cement that all into the federal government because it's much easier to lobby a president, vice president, and 100 senators than it is to lobby the 50 states. And so the EPA regulations are all written to an allowable amount of pollution that can be emitted into the environment without the corporation being liable. So now all they have to do is go to the regulatory agency and slowly increase the amounts of pollution that become allowable. So to give Nixon credit for being an environmental president is like giving Ronald Reagan credit for stabilizing the tax structure of the United States.
Yeah, I agree. It's a case of well, maybe some of the consequences were intended, but there was no nationwide environmental protection at that point in time. You know, this was also, and I know you remember well, this was the same period of time where air was unbreathable in Southern California and the rivers caught fire routinely in Cleveland.
And states like California were working at cracking down on it.
Yeah.
And the petroleum industry didn't want to see a shift to unleaded gas because it meant they would have had to formulate it differently to keep cars from knocking, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the amount of runoff into a river that fucked up the spawning beds for the salmon was becoming a state issue. And OSHA, as an example, protective gear and the air quality inside a factory and all these things were being dealt with at the state level. And corporate industries wanted
some
to
state
get
levels. Some state levels.
Yeah,
Roger.
Some states. I agree. And, along with the miles per gallon on cars. And of course, in those days, you didn't care if you got 4 miles a gallon as long as your car burnt rubber in second gear. But that was the reason the Environmental Protection Agency was created. And that protection in the name is a Republican fuckery because it wasn't to protect the environment. It was to protect the corporations. And then what happened is people thought, the Environmental Protection Agency, I'm an environmental scientist. I think I want to go to work for that agency. And the agency started making recommendations that the corporations didn't like, which is why the fights always occurred over who was going to be the EPA administrator. And the Republicans always wanted a corporate shill at the top, and the Democrats took it to mean what the title says, the Environmental Protection Agency. Therefore, we need to protect the environment. But the name was a total fuckery.
Yeah, it was Orwellian, to say the very least. And then, in a very short period of time later, it was 1977 when Jimmy Carter reluctantly signed the Surface Mine Control and Reclamation Act into being, even though he did so saying I got a bad feeling about this because he knew what was going to come and what he knew was coming came. You know, mountaintop removal is the child of the Surface Mine Control and Reclamation Act.
Well, the surface mining's a big part of that, but the reclamation never happens.
Yeah, well, I mean, we learned that to our chagrin. But I mention it because there was a similar situation in that you had states not doing anything. A place like West Virginia was entirely enthralled to the coal industry, and they were never going to regulate it to any degree of meaningfulness.
And so the federal government stepped in, but then they turned around and they said, but we're going to let the states administer the laws that the regulations that we pass. And so you
Which
wind up
allows the state to not do anything.
Precisely. But see, just as you'd had rivers catching fire and horrible, you know, horrible smog in Southern California, in West Virginia in 1972, you get the Buffalo Creek disaster. So it was an attempt to respond, and then Republicans started gutting it. It's kind of and it's the same thing happens over and over and over again. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau was supposed to be a cop that would prevent financial agencies from preying on consumers and be able to provide relief. And the Republicans gutted that as quickly as they could get their hands on it. And it's part of a larger thing, Roger. The fact of the matter is, you can look at just about anything that is bad. You can ask the question fairly, what good have Republicans done in the last 75 years? Nothing.
That's an easy answer. Nothing.
Well, wait a minute. I'll take exception to that.
If you say interstate highways, I'm going to reach through and...
No, I wasn't. I wasn't. What I was going to say was the only good thing by... And it's a left-hand... Not a left-handed, but it's a twisted good thing is they fucked things up to the point where voters insist upon putting people in charge who will clean up that mess. But we never keep those people in charge long enough to undo all the stuff that needs to get fixed. That's the insidious.
But I think in the post World War II world, which in many ways we're still living in, if you ask the question, why haven't things gotten better? The answer is Republicans.
Yeah. Well, definitely, no argument there.
Our pal Reverbo opined on this and still does. You know, there were promises made, or at least, you know, with fingers crossed behind the back promises, of what the future would look like for people who were my age when we were children. When I was a little kid, the future was the Jetsons.
Oh, yeah, me too.
And
I'm still waiting.
Yeah. And in Reverbo's case, he's still waiting for his helium filled pants, and they're still not here.
Be careful! You have to have lead shoes for that to work. Otherwise, you float upside down, Robin.
Well, ballast and there's little jets and you know.
Well,
they're developing drones that people can fly.
We do have one thing in our house that's sort of from the Jetsons. It's a little vacuum cleaner unit that lives underneath the buffet, and you push the right button on the smartphone and put all the chairs up, and it runs around the whole living room kitchen area and vacuums it, and then it goes parks itself underneath the buffet.
Robin?
Is that like a Roomba?
Roomba, yeah.
Yeah. It goes back to its charging port.
Yep.
One thing I'm kind of interested about is the fact that I think I've mentioned to y'all before about some of the stuff NASA's been doing.
We flew the helicopter on Mars again.
Yeah.
And that's a big damn deal.
Yeah. And the one thing that made me kind of annoyed is with all the shit we've got going on and all the shit we could spend money on. Apparently some jackass in the Senate or in DARPA or something. I saw an article about this and Snopes verified it. Apparently they're trying to make like a mothership type aircraft carrier designed similar to the, the helicarriers off of fucking Marvel movies. Yeah. Apparently someone is sitting in the government masturbating about fucking motherships now.
They're thinking about trying
to build one that works, and that's exactly what we need to throw our money in.
I'll be impressed with the Mars helicopter when it starts giving morning and evening traffic reports. Until then, it could just stay in its little charging unit and leave us the fuck alone.
Oh, no, no, you have no sense of romance, Scott. That helicopter, that helicopter has attached to it a little piece of the material, the fabric material from the wing of the Wright brothers' first flyer.
You're right. I have no romance. I've become a cynic, a naysayer. I used to be positive.
Well, I mean, it's jaded is a thing.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, that's not me taking you to task, but but in a way, it confirms the prophecy that is Idiocracy.
Unfortunately, reality is also a thing.
Oh, yeah, it sure is.
Gets in the way lots.
Yeah.
But
think about how much of what they're doing, and I mean they in the bigger sense, to obfuscate and look over here, squirrel, as opposed to looking at things that really matter.
No, down here, Don, it's when we want to do something big and the Republicans say, no, we'll be poor if we do that. I mean, we had a functioning, and it was its own state of the art at the time in the post-World War II boom. We had a highly functional, good passenger rail service all over this country.
Yeah, so did we.
And we killed it deliberately. You know, for the sake of the airline industry, because I guess we can't walk and chew gum at the same time. But having once experienced the magnificence of high speed rail, and I guess it's because the airlines probably know this better than the rest of us do. If we had that here, I would never get on a plane.
So now you know why it's in the airlines' best interests to pay lobbyists in Washington and all over the country to not let things like high-speed rail work.
Right.
But the interstate highway system had a lot to do with the passenger rail demise as well.
Oh, sure it did.
Yeah.
And that didn't happen on its own. You look at, you can find it on YouTube. It has to do with the red cars, the trolley car that used to be in Los Angeles.
That's one of the central plot points of Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Yeah, and the backstory is the automobile industry and the tire industry basically killed the old fashioned trolley car system in Los Angeles that people loved. It's hard to get the public to love a public service, except when they do. And they said, no, we can't have this. We've got our rubber lobbyists and our automotive.
And yet you've got two that come to mind immediately. You've got the cable cars in San Francisco, which are a delight. And you've got trolleys in New Orleans.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, streetcars.
Yeah.
Named Desire.
Yeah, I figured you would before.
Trump killed high-speed rail in California.
Yeah. Well, that and a bunch of NIMBYs, too, Sparky.
Well, they were building it.
But wasn't there a shit ton of litigation?
I don't remember, but it was being built. And they lost $928 billion or million from the government or something. They canceled it.
Well, going all the way back to the Obama administration. Remember when he was giving away free money, free government money, to the states, and there was a gajillion dollars going to Wisconsin for a plant that was going to manufacture passenger cars for rail, and Snot Walker got in and said, well, we don't want no goddamn rail cars, but we would like to keep the money. And the Obama administration had to fight him. No, you got to give the money back, asshole. Oh, and by the way, from back during the 4-year mistake that was Trump, remember Foxconn? Foxconn was going to put in the biggest plant in the history of the universe under God, and we're going to put it in Wisconsin. We're going to use every bit of fresh water out of Lake Michigan to do it. And, well, Foxconn has pretty much all but completely pulled out of the thing, and it was all smoke and mirrors all along anyway. Because if you want an answer to the question, why don't we have awesome shit in the third decade of the 21st century? The answer is Republicans.
Yeah, well, you're right. I grant you that.
Oh, and I noticed that.
And we could have nice things. That's the thing. If you took a survey of people, generally speaking, people want nice things. They want things that work. They want things that enhance their lives. Well, the Republicans, that's the last thing on their agenda, if it's there at all. They don't want enhancement. They don't want improvement. They want things to be fucked up so they can step in and fuck them up more. Isn't that pretty much that, and
they're afraid that some brown person might get some advantage out of it.
Or benefit, yeah. Some benefit, yeah. Yeah, if they could have Plessy versus Ferguson high-speed rail, by God, the Republicans would be right there.
You betcha.
Matt in San Francisco says, subject line, Mars. The sooner Elon Musk departs for the Red Rock, the better. Oh, I want there to be an absolute race among these goddamned oligarch billionaires. I claim this planet in the name of Mars. And,
well, how's fundraising, Robin?
Pardon?
How's fundraising going?
We are 485.
Oh, not bad.
And your challenge was met.
I know. I saw that.
And so we got about 50 minutes to try to scrape up $485, and that would be great. And if we could scrape up $185, that would put us to good all the way up to today. But 485 finishes the week, and hopefully that can happen. Flavio jumped in regard to passenger rail and trolley cars. Absolutely, the automobile industry killed trolley, streetcars, trams, passenger rail. In the north side of La Crosse, Wisconsin, you can see where they poured concrete over the tracks. La Crosse had a trolley that ran from the north of La Crosse to the south along where the main drag, Mormon Cooley Road, lies today. Mormon lies? What? Yeah, never mind. Yeah. Used to be you could, in my hometown, you could see the trolley tracks right down the middle of, Court Street. And the other thing it did is, you know, when you had those, it meant that you didn't, that business stayed in the center of town. When, of course, real estate developers wanted expansion, wanted sprawl. Oh, hold on. By the way, Darlene in Connecticut just said, that was fucking hilarious what Scott just said. It was a Scottism for sure. I never heard about the Wright brothers connection. You sure about that, Rob? Yes, I am sure about that. Besides, Connecticut has always maintained that... Gustav Whitehead was the first in flight, but I digress. Even though Scientific American has debunked it. Oh, pardon me. And even though I'm a major Trekkie, I'm in agreement with Scott. The only thing impressive about Ingenuity is its ability to lift and fly a bit in extremely thin air. Otherwise, that 4-pound baby is just a drone as far as I'm concerned. It is a drone, but...
Just to clarify... I am all for, I mean, there was not a bigger fan of the U.S. space race in the 60s than me. I mean, I remember when the airspace portion of the Smithsonian was literally a Quonset hut in back of the Red Castle on the National Mall. That's how far back I go. And they had rockets in the courtyard. They had an Atlas and a Redstone and a couple of others. And now they're indoors in the big aerospace museum.
Oh, that thing's fantastic! I love it.
I want to see it before I go.
And then you go out to Dulles,
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And the really cool shit's out there.
They have a shuttle in that building, an actual full-size, actual space shuttle?
Yes.
But what I'm saying is, just to clarify my position, I am all for science, but there's a lot of science needing done down here on terra firma. And in the pandemic.
Well, you're in Gil Scott Heron territory. Whitey's on the moon.
Yeah.
And I admit, I got my own case of wet blanketism. I woke up this morning to everybody ballyhooing the shot of SpaceX delivering four astronauts in some really cheesy looking spacesuits to the International Space Station. And they're, and apparently there's going to be 11 people on the International Space Station, and some people are going to be sleeping in a sleeping bag floating against the ceiling. Oh, fun. But I was like, yeah, ho-hum, who cares? You know why?
Hey, Robin.
Just one sec, Jerry. I was ho-hum about that because we didn't do that. We the people didn't do that. We the people went to the moon. But Elon Musk sent those people to the space station. So, good for Elon Musk. But that ain't us. Or am I just a wet blanket?
You're a wet blanket.
Okay, tell me why.
No, I'm kidding you. I just felt like saying that. But you're all wrong on who was first in flight.
Okay.
It's the people who what Europe teaches and what Brazil teaches. It's Santos Dumont.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the Montgolfier brothers in France, revolutionary France. Nope. Hot air balloons.
Santos Dumont.
I thought Alice Cramden was the first person on the moon.
Yeah, well, that's the moon.
No, first in flight. Santos Dumont. Look him up.
Scott doesn't get a cowbell for that.
Yes, Scott gets it. Yes. Oh, and thank you very kindly. We're down to 470. Elizabeth just took us to, 460. 460. Thank you. Thank you, Elizabeth. That's tremendous.
Hey Robin.
I sent you a little something too, Robin.
Hey, Robin, I'm going to, you remember the thing I sent you about the, from Schaller and Weber, the Oktoberfest thing?
Yeah.
For a $100 donation, for a $100 contribution, I'll send that to somebody.
Ooh, and it has to be in the domestic U.S.
Yes, unfortunately. I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a pretty good thing. I sent that to my dad for his birthday, and he said the soap was really, really good.
Yeah, a beautiful collection of Würsten.
And sauerkraut. And
mustard.
There was some really good mustard in there. I don't remember what else. Shit, how do I... I still owe one other special offer that I did before. I just haven't had a chance to do it, which I'm in the process of doing. I've done all but one. And first of all, I apologize. It does take me a little longer. But yes, I will do the Schaller and Weber, the various different sausages, sauerkraut, different mustards. There was something else in there. I don't remember what it was. Do you want me to send that to you so you can read off what it is just so the people know what they're getting?
Yeah, that would be great. That would be great.
Okay. Yeah, I'll send that to you. I think I sent it to you. How did I send it to you before? Was it by
I think you Facebook? Sent it by Messenger.
Okay. I'll send it by email right now, okay?
Oh, and absolutely. And thank you, Steve in Georgia Stan, whom I haven't even heard from. but thank you, Steve. Little Cletus went out and found a bone to help get things down to a more manageable level. So we're now down to 420, curiously enough. 420 on 423. Thank you, Steve and Miss Karen, Little Cletus.
Like that number. Hey, works out well.
Yeah, it wasn't.
420 every day.
Let's see. So we're at 420.
Spark them up if you got them.
Exactly. And so now I'm being educated on Alberto Santos Dumas, who in November 23rd, 1906, in Paris with the 14 BIS in front of the jury of the Aero Club de France, the Wright brothers plane had to go on a rail and be catapulted into the air. There's footage of the 14 BIS taking off and landing on its own. In 1908, the Wright brothers took their plane to Paris to show it off, and it crashed. I think one of the brothers flying it broke his leg. Huh. Good for Alberto Santos Dumont.
Since we're talking about space and flight and stuff,
yeah.
I have a friend who's in a branch of intelligence. I won't say what it is, just in case he happens to be listening. And one time we were talking about certain things in space, and we got to talking about that autonomous little copy of the space shuttle we have, which we don't really talk about, and it's been filmed coming back after stints in space of 6 or 7 months. And as I was talking to him, his eyes
the XB-37.
Yes, and his eyes kept getting bigger and bigger as I was talking to him. And at one point, I looked at him and said, you know what that is? That's a satellite killer. That's all it is. It pushes satellites out of orbit, and they spin out of control, and they burn up to protect us. And at that point, he said, this is where I have to stop talking, and he walked away. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, and back to the pandemic for a moment. Just had a note from Dave number 11. And what I said to Don earlier has been borne out. You know, we've shut this down and shut that down. But because of the precious, sacred, fetishized First Amendment, we have a real hard time shutting down churches. And, of course, the Supreme Court of the United States, with people like Brett Kavanaugh, the religious maniac, and Justice Handmaid, Amy Covid Barrett, have insisted that churches stay open and spread the disease. Well, out of Humboldt County, they've had a spike in COVID-19 of late, and they found out why. Eureka, the Pentecostal Church. Now, for those who don't participate in such like, the Pentecostal Church are the people who sing and bark and scream and hoot and speak in tongues and roll on the floor and grease each other with a little Crisco oil and call it anointing and
creepy.
Yeah, and you know, they're the Holy Rollers is what they, and that great Canadian band, the Crash Test Dummies, once sang about them, saying they roll all over the church floor. And that was in their single hit, That's the name of the song. But, yeah, yesterday, the Humboldt County Joint Information Center said a majority of the 110 cases reported so far this week are part of a single outbreak associated with one or more super spreader events. And Eureka, the Pentecostal Church, is the source. And this morning, a mobile testing van from the Humboldt County Public Health Branch was parked in front of the church. How dare they? They're trampling our First Amendment sacred rights of religion and freedom of religion. That's the only reason we got America is to have churches. Yeah. The church's administration confirmed that members have tested positive. We had gone over an entire year with no outbreak at the church, but despite our best efforts, the virus was introduced to our congregation, just like the serpent in the garden introducing sin to that sleazy transgender woman, what was made from a man, Eve. I added that part. Whether that was in a church service or from outside gatherings amongst church congregants, many who are family, we do not know. And they recently, members of Eureka, the Pentecostal Church, Urethra, they posted videos on the Facebook showing a regional youth gathering April 9th and 10th in Stockton, where singers and musicians on stage at an indoor venue are playing and singing for a crowd of hundreds of good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, gun-dementalist, homosexual Christians who are literally Danson. It works better with the accent. I'm reading it straight from the news story. Okay, not straight. Danson jumping up and down and singing in close proximity to one another. Very few in the audience are wearing masks. And this is, of course, the very definition of LARPing and smollicking and grabulating all over one another and hooting and barking and grunting and hollering. Because Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
That sounds like the guy from California that goes in all over the place. I can't remember his name.
Oh, Sean Foicht.
Sean Foicht, yeah.
Hey, Robin.
Yeah.
Nobody talks like that out here in California, in Eureka.
No, dude, I'm sure no. No, that's Southern California. Never mind.
You'll have to go visit Humboldt to get the accent. Maybe Roger can help you.
I don't have the accent, but on Monday I left Eugene and spent Tuesday, Wednesday, and came home I drove down Monday, spent Tuesday, Wednesday, came home Thursday, and yes, I was in Eureka on Tuesday. But the bars are open, although they're like the bar, my favorite bar, there's no bar stools anymore, and everybody's sitting out in the patio underneath the cover, and everybody's sitting outside. So I think I was pretty safe in the people I met up with, but I was at the local building supply store, and everybody's wearing masks, and it seemed to be going pretty good. But I get back here to Eugene and discovered we've moved up one in the color coding, and our little car run that we were going to go to a winery for the Cherry Blossom Festival got canceled because Eugene, Oregon's going back to the no large groups, blah, blah, blah stuff. So it's as bad here as it is anywhere else.
They had the rodeo last weekend, and the Tehama County Health Officer advised everybody that went to the rodeo to go get tested.
Well, tested just tells you got it. Still getting spread.
Yeah, now they're fixing to have the fair. They're bringing in all the amusement rides and everything.
Oh, Jesus, that's got to be the dumbest thing in the world. I worked as a carny one summer, and they move around all over the goddamn state, spend a week here, a week there, a week somewhere else, and they travel for 2 or 3 days. Their dietary habits aren't all that spiffy. The sleeping accommodations are usually in tents behind the ride or inside their booth when they're doing their take three shot, shoot out the little red dot, you go home the winter kind of places. There's no way in hell a carnival can travel and not be a spreader event. Can't happen.
Well, they're having the antique tractor show this weekend.
We're going to have our fair this year. We're going to have our fireworks, and our fireworks on the 4th of July is about a 2-mile stretch packed with about 200,000 people. That'll go over well.
Well, we're doing what Americans have always done in different decades. We're amusing ourselves to death. Isn't that what it comes down to?
Yeah, that's a great phrase, and I come back to it from time to time. Yeah, amusing ourselves to death.
Robin?
Yes, Rick.
I heard something the other day that actually made me kind of happy on a religious note.
Yeah.
The state of New Hampshire through, I believe it was either New Hampshire or one of those other New England states, their Supreme Court was, there was an actual adherent to my religion, someone who is honorable like me, this isn't a racist rednecky story. Basically, he sued the state because his father died and they wouldn't let them give him a Viking funeral. And the state found it to be, as long as appropriate fire mitigation steps are taken, is completely legal to do that in that state now. Really catches, you have to kick the boat out to sea so it doesn't circle back. And you have to notify the Coast Guard. So so they don't freak out. If
you know, Rick, I thought of you the other day because I thought of you the other day because I saw a guy with a vanity plate, West Virginia vanity plate, that read Viking Eric. And I thought, well, that's just one vowel away from Viking Rick.
Yeah, pretty much. And, yeah, it's just that made me really happy. So apparently when I die, I'm going to New Hampshire so they could put me on a Viking longboat and kick me out to sea.
It depends on whether you've been good or bad.
Well, I've lived an honorable life, so I'd like to think I'll get a Viking's funeral.
Died a sinner and got sent to New Hampshire.
Got sent to New Hampshire.
It's like what David Crockett said. You all may go to hell. I'm going to Texas.
Don't get too excited. There's a whole lot of New Hampshire stand there.
Oh yeah, and by the way, what Steve was talking about was the Oktoberfest pack, and it is a cooked bratwurst, a cooked knockwurst, a cooked bratwurst, a knockwurst, a Nürnberger bratwurst, weisswurst, which is fantastic, Dusseldorf style horseradish mustard, sweet and spicy Bavarian style mustard. And a 16-ounce jar of sauerkraut. Yum me. So $100 gets you that, courtesy of Steve in New York. And thank you very kindly. I need to get the thank yous out. Thank you very, very kindly to Jessica in Minnesota. Thank you, Jessica. In celebration of the district court granting me my name change, I'm now legally Jessica. Now, like Walter White, say my name. In fact, I make this a say my name challenge. I'm so proud and happy for you, Jessica.
You better give a damn cowbell there.
I just did.
I know. I heard it.
And so congratulations, Jessica. Thank you so very much. That gets us down to $395. And then Earther took us down to $390.80 because of the 420 thing. So we are at 390.80 to finish the week.
Can I say something real quick?
Yeah.
It's real quick. I just want to make sure people know it's not like one of each of those sausages. It's a package of them.
Right. Okay. Yeah. One package.
Yeah. As an aside, my dad had it. I sent it to my dad for his birthday. He grilled it. He said it was absolutely fantastic.
Yummy.
Oh, and Robin.
Yeah.
Before I forget, happy Siggersblot. That's our equivalency to the most recent holiday for Wiccans.
Yeah, that's Ziggard's Blood.
Yeah. I just wanted to wish you a good one and all the rest of the Horn family.
Well, when should I? Is that recently passed or is that coming up?
Earth Day this year was actually Sigurd's Blood.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, we had a very nice Earth Day. You know, that's. Agnes's birthday, so.
I know my way of celebrating probably would have made some hippies angry, but I roasted an entire leg of mutton in the oven on slow. And then ate it like a goddamn caveman.
Good for you. Absolutely. And someday I'll be tearing into wonderfully roasted. Mm-hmm.
And I rubbed it in sea salt and garlic salt. And let it roast in its own juices in my oven for about 6 hours.
Low and slow.
Oh, yeah. It was delicious. The bone basically slid out of the mutton.
See, that's how it's supposed to work.
And I was just sitting there. And when I say a leg of mutton, I'm not talking like a good pounder. I'm talking like a good 6-pound leg of mutton.
And you just tore into it like a Viking.
Yep. And I sat there and I even watched Vikings for... some added effect.
Good deal. Good deal.
That was a joke, by the way. That show isn't terribly historically accurate. It's good. It's a good serial show, and it's good for watching. But they mixed up a lot of points because a lot of that show is based off the historical Christian accounts. And as you know, most of the Christians tended to write us down as like blood-drinking, cannibalistic heathens who roasted poor maidens over fires. When in reality, we just kind of enjoyed being left the fuck alone.
When they weren't not leaving other people alone. I mean, there is Lindisfarne, right?
Oh well, there's actually a backstory that a lot of Christians don't know. The gold that was in Lindisfarne was stolen from the Vikings and turned into crosses. That wasn't an attack. That was a reclamation.
Ah.
But I do have a question.
Yes, Steve.
Okay.
Rick said cereal. Like what kind? Like cream of wheat or like...
No, as in like an episodic show.
I know. I'm being...
Give
me the Gnar.
Yeah, that's a Gnar. Yeah.
That's a...
That goes all the way back to a story I heard about right before I moved, or that happened right before I moved to a little county in the middle of nowhere. There was a guy, it's not funny, but he became known as the county serial killer because one morning he sat down to breakfast and blew away his wife. As she was sitting at breakfast over a bowl of cereal, and when they arrived on the scene, there was cereal all over the place. They didn't get along well, those two.
But what kind? We're not talking like Fruity Pebbles. It's like cream of wheat or
No. We're talking about breakfast cereal, probably, you know, Post Toasties or some such.
Mm. I would like to say, and I posted it in the chat, that 2 years ago today, I always mark it. I had a little cat. She was only 8 years old. She only weighed 5 pounds, 7 ounces. I had to put her down today. She had a growth on her liver. She was very, very sick. Her blood pressure was so low they couldn't take blood out of her. Her heart rate was less than 25% of what it's supposed to be for a kitty. And I had to put her down today. I have my other cat, but I still,
miss the baby.
I miss the baby. I have her ashes and I got a paw print in plaster and I got a portion of her hair that they shaved off of her. I have it above my desk at home. So she watches over me.
Oh.
But yeah, once my Mason dies, I'm not going to do, I will give money to places that rescue, animals. I won't have another one again. I can't deal with the,
heartbreak.
And you know what the worst part was was riding back home with an empty carrier.
By the way, Steve, you have had a taker.
Okay, awesome.
And Trevor, okay, Trevor, I need you to send me a mailing address, please.
Mm-hmm.
So that I can pass that on to Steve, and he will get right on it.
And let me tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to do a surprise bonus. Not going to tell you, not going to tell him what it is. But I will say this, and Darlene can chime in on this. I'm going to do a surprise of what I sent Darlene. Darlene can just, if she can email and say, not say what it is, but say what I sent Darlene. I sent her some stuff and I sent that as a bonus. It was something that was really, really good. And Robin,
didn't you just technically ruin the surprise by announcing to me a surprise?
You know what? If Robin had said that, I could chalk it up to hillbilly elitism. But you know,
well, Jeremy's a hillbilly too.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, Jeremy lives in mountains.
Appalachian mountains, baby.
Well, you know what? Fuck you and your hillbilly elitism, okay? Okay.
Oh, and Robin?
Yeah,
before I forget, the Lindisfarne thing, they've recently found out through historical records from the time of Harald Hardrada, King Harald Bluetooth, the guy who unified Norway, and letters among him and his commanders after the sacking of Lindisfarne, that basically, the Christians kind of ignored this, but basically a bunch of the trading ships Harald Hardrada had sent to the west had just disappeared, and roughly about 18 metric tons of gold just went up in smoke. They finally tracked it down and found out that it had been raided by pirates and sold off to the English nobles, and melted their iconography, melted down into crosses and religious artifacts, and most of that gold ended up as Lindisfarne.
Yeah, but Rick, it's not one thing. I mean, they raided and they murdered and they pillaged.
I'm not saying that was acceptable. I'm just saying that the story of Lindisfarne is a lot
they were all barbarians.
Oh, the entire world was at that time, pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, the English kings who came. That's why, you know, talking about the Anglo-Saxon heritage made me want to eat dirt and run rabbits.
I heard that too, and I just started laughing because didn't we kick their ass?
Well, I mean, no.
My religion kicked their ass.
No, they shared your religion. They were Germanic. They were Germanic peoples. They came from, the Angles, yeah, and the Saxons and the Jutes. You know, the Jutland Peninsula. That's where they came from. The Angles and Saxons came from Frisia, and you know, the very first English is little distinguishable from Frisian, which doesn't get much more Germanic.
So they
come in, they stomp the shit out of the Britons, and the Britons of the time were fighting to hang on to their Roman patrimony, having been kicked around by the Romans for a while, starting with Julius Caesar and then into Claudius, and then the Romans brought civilization to Britain. And then the Angles and Saxons come over and repress, and that's where the Arthur myth actually originates. Is a Celtic British Romanized war leader resisting the incursions of the Angles and the Saxons, and then they establish their dominance. And in 1066, the Normans come over and stomp the fuck out of them and oppress the Angles and the Saxons.
And the story of Excalibur, a lot of people think that that is actually a miss, because as you said, it was a Roman soldier. A lot of, during that time period, the Britons that would have fought the Romans would have been using bronze. Bronze can be cleaved in half by an even half.
Oh, no.
It would snap.
No, when the Gauls fought the Romans, they were not fighting with bronze.
I thought the Iceni used bronze weapons.
No. Iron technology had long since made its way into Europe.
Okay, sorry, I misunderstood. That was my fault. But I always thought that the legend of Excalibur was caused by the fact that the Roman swords would cut through bronze and cause it to snap, and it gave them military advantage that convinced bronze builders they were magical. It didn't help that they had I don't know if this is true, but didn't they used to rub magnets on the fucking iron pilums? The sphere that would break when you threw it so it couldn't be thrown back at you?
No. Okay. That was an invention of Gaius Marius. The Gauls invaded. Okay. Gaius Marius saw in the field the Roman generals and their troops had the shit kicked out of them by the Gauls, because once they threw their pila, which is plural for pilum, the Gauls picked them up and threw them back. So Gaius Marius made a breakable head, so that once used, the head of the pilum would break off and they couldn't turn around and throw it back.
Yeah. Really ingenious technology when you think about it.
Well, Gaius Marius was a genius, and you know, he becomes.
Isn't he the one who instituted the reforms?
He's the one who, yes, if you can call it a reform, Gaius Marius brought the hoi polloi into the Roman military. Prior to that, you had to be a landowning Roman citizen to participate in the legions, because participating in the legions was risky, but it could also result in a tasty profit.
Weren't the early Roman soldiers more mercenaries than soldiers?
No. That's the later Roman soldiers.
Oh, okay.
The early Roman soldier was a farmer who left the tending of his crops and fields and marched off to war, largely against other tribes in Latium and then further out into the Italian peninsula. And Gaius Marius said, you don't got to be a landowning Roman freeman. You can just be some poor bastard who's willing to give the Roman legions 20 years of service.
And sorry for my misinformation earlier.
Oh, no worries. Let me see. Steve, in New York, I just sent you Trevor's address so that you can get his stuff to him. Let's see here. So with what Trevor did, we are now down to, $380, something like that. But thank you, Trevor. Thank you very, very kindly. You will have some yummy stuff in the very near future. So $80, and all we've got to do is today, and we got about 17 minutes to do $380, which would be awesome if we could just finish the week.
Can we hear from Megan?
Yes, I would love to hear from Megan.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I was just sitting here listening. The vaccine, I guess, has made me just a little tad more sleepy this time of night. Or at least I think it's a vaccine, or I'm just working too hard. I don't know. So I was curious. I wanted to ask Asgardian Rick if Sigur's plot is anything like Beltane.
It's basically it's the coming of the. It's a representation of light surviving over darkness, and a rebirth of the world. So yeah, it's probably pretty close to Ostara.
Oh, okay. That's what I thought, because I think I was told by a heathen that they celebrated springtime because Ragnarok, in Ragnarok, the first sign of Ragnarok was a winter that never ends.
Fimbul winter. Yeah. Fimbul winter literally translates into forever winter or never-ending winter. And it's the first sign of Ragnarok, followed shortly after by the Gjallarhorn. The sounding of the Gjallarhorn from the Keep of Odin to let the Einherjar know they need to ride to battle. And the catch 22 to the whole thing is that the Fimbulwinter starts slowly and then ramps up. It's basically described as an ice age from hell. Think you've stepped into Helheim itself, or Niflheim.
Jesus.
The kind of cold that goes through to your soul is the kind of cold it's described as.
Oh, in other words, last night.
What?
In other words, last night. Because I've learned, I figured something out. I think I've known a long time, but we just had a brutal cold snap, and we're going to keep having it for a few more days. And it is absolute truth. You know, by the time you're into the teeth of winter, you're pretty much, you get used to it. It's every day. But then it warms up, and you go, spring. And then you have something hateful like we've just had here, and the country's had it. And you're like, fuck, I've never been colder in my life.
But a lot of people think that Fimbulwinter, scientifically speaking, is a reference to the heat death of the universe.
Yeah, I'm guessing that was probably beyond the capabilities of your average, ordinary, everyday life. Guessing.
I know, but there are a lot of coincidences within Norse society that can be explained by technology.
I mean, the Mayans, and, you know, we know the Mayans came up with zero before any of the Europeans did. We know that you have to have pi, P-I, not P-I-E, although that's always good, too, in order to build a pyramid. So that means, you know, you can't get away from
just
that.
Just to interject there, Robin, there for a minute. I kind of always thought that the ancients had more knowledge than we let them, what we believe, or either there was a way of intuitively coming by that information before. It could be we. I can't explain this. There's a way to understand this before science kind of laid it all out.
But it is. I mean, it is science.
Right. Well, what I'm saying is, like, if you went back in, like, to the caveman era and you took out a lighter and you flicked it on, that to them would be magic. What I'm saying is, like, for example, like, the Celts were described as, like, a very strong, tall, healthy, mighty people. What if they intuitively even understood that stuff like inbreeding was not good, and that's what led to them?
No, that's not a resistance to inbreeding. That's a high protein diet.
Well,
I mean, the Europeans who arrived here, you know, those scrawny ass, dirty, unbathed, filthy, disease bearing Spaniards, were some scrawny little bow legged pukes. And they wandered into Native American societies that had people 6 feet tall. They thought they were freaking giants.
Right. But if you get into a tribe, how soon before everyone's related to one another?
When you consider that a place like the Western Hemisphere was more populous than Europe, Asia, and Africa combined. Not very soon, because tribal groups and hunter-gatherer groups tend to breed outside their groups by virtue of their trade network. So you don't get the whole English royal family big ears, buggy eyes thing until, you know, Europeans start fucking their sisters. Hellenic Greeks.
Didn't the Romans also do this too?
Not so much.
Don't forget, though, the real person that discovered America was White Jesus when he appeared to the natives way back when, you know, according to the...
Yeah, because all you got to do is get out your seeing stones and look into a hat and read the golden plates. But for instance, it became traditional in Ptolemaic Egypt for brothers and sisters to co-rule, and they would, you know, interbreed, and that's how you wind up with.
They were trying to keep the royal bloodline pure. Was their understanding?
Right. Well, and they were an occupying force, so they didn't want any actual Egyptian blood sneaking into their. Noble Macedonian Greek.
Pasty-ass white guy?
Well, I mean, the Macedonians were redheads. I mean, people have been moving all over this planet for as long as there have been people. In what is now Turkey, and what is now Turkey...
towards our own survival, and if that means understanding certain principles before... You know, technically, the science came out with it then.
Well, it's hard to intuit something like that. It's usually a matter of observation. A lot of mathematics came about as a result of observance of the heavens. That's certainly true of the Egyptians, and definitely true of. South and Mesoamerican and North American cultures. The pyramid at Cahokia is, and many earthen pyramids in North America are aligned on an astronomical axis, and that wasn't an accident.
So is Stonehenge actually?
Yeah, Stonehenge. The three so-called greatest pyramids of Egypt are. I mean, it's important to know when winter starts and when winter ends and when springtime begins and when autumn begins, And the, you know, they'll attach religious connotations to it, but the reality is it's existential knowledge, because, you know, if you're sedentary and agricultural, you know, planting your grain seeds in November is going to lead to starvation and death.
So wait a minute, if all this is true, my theory that Stonehenge is nothing more than the toes sticking up out of the ground of the statues on Easter Island may have credence.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Crazy.
Yes, I know.
And Flavio, hey, some of us may not be crazy about history time, but Flavio says, Kinkinatus, talk about Kinkinatus. Oh, uh-huh. Probably better not talk about Kinkinatus.
Robin?
Yeah.
Is that any relation to you, Robin?
One thing I've always kind of believed, and I know this is kind of an esoteric thought process, is the idea of have you ever heard of the idea of the Akashic Library?
No.
I have.
The Akashic Library is an idea in religious circles, particularly within the Wiccan groups, of the idea that once a knowledge is learned, it's put into this kind of quantum library. Think of it like a library of the universe that you can't really access. It's just kind of there in the ether. Think of it like
that's Jungian's archetypal memory.
And but what I've always believed is that if somewhere out there in the universe there are aliens, one of them figured out the heat death of the universe millions upon millions of years ago, put that out there into that collective unconscious, and it was picked up on by humans who are more attuned to that.
But that just takes too much speculation. That takes too much believing and not enough knowing. I mean, what you just basically described, Rick, is what is what Kurt Vonnegut was talking about when he came up with the idea of the Tralfamadorians, who see time as just another dimension, like length and width and height and depth and time.
And who's to say that's not how the universe actually works outside of our three dimensions?
Yeah, but that's not how science operates.
As far as we know, but I'm also a guy who believes in about 4,000 different gods.
A lot
gods,
of this stuff so. Also make inventions not because we scientifically think it's possible, but because we're intrigued by an idea or we have a driving need to figure it out. Like the Wright brothers didn't figure out flying because, you know, they scientifically thought it was possible because they dreamed of flying when they were kids.
And also because they were bicycle mechanics.
Well, then imagination been and to their mechanics museum came together, didn't it?
The museum in Dayton, Sparky? Do they have the original one, or does the Smithsonian?
Smithsonian. The Smithsonian has this.
They just have a replica hanging from the ceiling. It's like, it's not as big.
Yeah, the Smithsonian has the real Wright brothers plane.
But but on the other side of things, Robin, I'm also the kind of guy who believes in 4,200 different gods. So,
well, I mean, there are. There's 4,200 different religions. That's why I reject them all.
No, I'm saying my religion has 4,200 different gods for different things, and I believe in all of them, so it's not exactly a stretch for me to believe in fucking Akashic Library or...
But the larger point for me, Rick, is that humanity is for all of its bloody primate nature, also a beautiful thing. And when we talk about ancient astronauts building the pyramids instead of the sweat of human beings, we take a lot away from the genius and the brilliance of humanity.
And I'm not saying that the great advances of human technology are created by aliens. I'm saying they're created by humans. What I'm saying is that maybe they noticed the sun might be dimming or something and just kind of worked out the math.
But okay, so there. Let me see if I can make my point clear with a joke. A civil engineer A mechanical engineer and an economist are trapped on a desert island. And one day, a crate of canned food washes up on the shore. And God, they've been eating coconuts and coconut crabs forever. They're just sick to death of them. I put the coconut crabs in there for Roger. And Darlene. And so they got all this canned food. They don't have a can opener. And so they each take a can of food, a can of beans, and they go off and try to figure out a way to get into them. Well, the civil engineer develops a device that will smash the can open, but then there's no beans, and they're all got sand all over them. And the mechanical engineer comes up with a fire, but that explodes the beans. And again, there's nothing to eat. Well, the economist comes back, and they ask the economist, well, what's your idea? You're so smart. And the economist says, imagine a can opener. Well, that's kind of where this is. You have to do too much imagining.
Yeah.
You have to...
Except it doesn't take too much of a leap to sit there and say we have to pierce them and cut the metal with something that's not going to destroy the food.
Right, but the humor is imagine a can opener. In other words, I'm going to do the instead of deal with the real world, I'm going to fantasize about something. I'm going to imagine something that ain't necessarily real in the situation they're in.
But in order to get there, you have to first take that leap and imagine that, because the Wright brothers also observed birds flying.
Yeah, so did Da Vinci.
Okay.
I mean, Da Vinci designed flying machines, and God, there was some dude in the Italian Renaissance who jumped off a tower, much to his regret, because wanted to fly. We get the myth of Icarus, and Icarus's father was the chief scientist, I guess you would say, inventor, whatever, of the court of Minos on Crete. And it tells us a lot more about basic memories of how advanced the Minoan culture was, rather than telling us about a boy with wax wings who flew too close to the sun, because it's right there in the sky. So, it's just that.
Well, and observation of the birds will only take you so far if the object of the idea is human flight, because you don't see airplanes taking off at your regional airport by flapping. How long did it take them to figure out that?
I just flew in from Berlin, and my arms are tired from the flapping.
I think it's scientifically possible. It's the imagination captured by flight, and hey, I want to do that too. And then you use whatever tools you've got to create that.
Watch the movie Brewster McCloud, a great underrated, not as well known Robert Altman film. Have you ever seen that, Robin?
No, the name rings a bell, but no.
Yeah, Bud Cort, the young star, Bud Cort, who was in Harold and Maude, is in it. Pretty good.
Well, I'm gonna wrap things up here. We've made significant progress. I guess we'll have like 680 or something come Monday. And I thank everybody who jumped in, especially with the happy birthday Agnes wishes. That was lovely. So thank you very kindly. And I am told that, the conversation will continue on the back porch after this program is no longer live to the air. And I am told that there will be no discussion of history, and there will be no discussion of culture, and there will be no discussion of esoterica. So if you've been at all put off by this, you'll be safe. You'll be safe there. Anyway. Thanks to all of you for wonderful conversation this evening. Thanks so very much. Thank you to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers, partial sponsors of the program. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Thank you to our United States Postal Service contributors. You all are the reason this program remains on the air. And thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to Sparky at the seat of honor around the Extraordinary Ordinary Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Remember, brand new Fresh Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is, of course, at HeadOn.live. Thank you very kindly to John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. This would be a great day to reach out to your member of the House and ask them to co-sponsor HR 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act. Please get your vaccine as soon as you can if you haven't already. And even after you get your vaccine, please observe your safety protocols. Wear your mask, wash your hands, don't touch your face, wear your gloves if you got them, take hand sanitizer everywhere. 15 feet between people wearing masks, 15 geologic eons between you and someone who isn't. And, of course, if someone comes towards you saying, I am a child of God and I don't have to wear a mask, avoid that person like the plague. Because as they found out to their chagrin in Humboldt County, California, they are. Have a great weekend, everybody. Later.